and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you got the bad, bad boys of Sunday evening talk radio right here tonight. It is time for the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour, as we do once again to be, come to you live on this sort of wintry day here in Central Florida on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. And yeah, we're bad, bad boys, but we've been acting real, real good here lately. You know
Speak
why?
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's coming to town. That guy's coming to town. That's right. Yeah, Santa Claus is coming too, but Donald Trump is coming to town Friday! All right, that is Aubrey Kahn, the extraordinary great host of the Talk to the Experts radio show, which airs every Saturday at 1 p.m. Great show there yesterday.
And, thank you.
Yeah, and of course, it is a call-in show. If you have any questions, they're there for you. They're the experts. And of course, he is also owner and CEO and all of that of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Does the greatest inspections in town. You're actually out doing one today, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, sort of an emergency deal had to get done, and this is the guy that when there's an emergency, they always call Aubrey.
Always call me. I wish they wouldn't. I wish they'd call me when there wasn't an emergency.
That's, I know, they always wait until there is one, right?
The last minute. This was a nice house. It was in a nice area, you know, $500,000 homes.
Oh, yeah.
And two of the five bedrooms had no power.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the breaker, the AFCI breaker.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't reset.
You have to replace.
It's not the breaker that's the problem.
Uh-oh.
It's wiring that's the problem.
Whoops. Ooh, that's a little bit more difficult to fix. That's why you need to have the experts that you'll find with Aubrey on his show every Saturday. All right, got Jeff Sinis on the bridge tonight.
How you doing?
There you go. Got me, of course, the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Haught. And that's right, folks. We are your voice to be reckoned with, right? That's right. All right. We got a big show lined up for you here tonight. Got Steve Gushoff of Legal Immigrants for America going to check in with us in a little while. We got Kathy Santomassino loaded up with some great stuff for some odd stories for your weekend. And by the way, she's also been putting up some great video stuff on our Facebook page. You know, a lot of stuff, serious stuff. Like, for instance, she put up Judge Jeanine's monologue to Barack Obama last. Did you see it last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. She railed on him, and that's on our Facebook page. And also a tribute to John Glenn. Plus, she's got some funny stuff up there, a couple of funny videos of Hillary lately here. So you'll want to double-check that every day. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And we'll be kind of tying into that Judge Jeanine thing here in just a moment. And we got Sunny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, is going to be joining us in a little while. I can't wait to talk to her about Linda McMahon being appointed the nominee for Secretary of the Small Business Administration. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, this morning I heard some of the talking heads on I think it was Fox Business Channel, talking about how what the country needs is more loans to small businesses. And I'm thinking, maybe that has something to do with her being appointed, being a strong businesswoman herself and having gone through all of that sort of thing.
Yep.
And also, a WWE superstar is running for mayor of Houston. That's right. All I'm going to tell you, it's not our very own Hacksaw Jim Duggan or B. Brian Blair, but you'll have to stick around for later on in the show to find out who it is if you don't already know. All right, so let's get to talking here. Yeah, Donald Trump is coming to town Friday at the Central Florida Fairgrounds, that amphitheater back there by the lake. I think they used to call that Barnett Park. I don't know if they still do since Barnett Bank isn't around anymore. That's what it was named after. I guess they paid for it.
And so they're going to change it to Bank of America?
I don't know if it has been or not, to be honest with you. But they call it the amphitheater. And it's not the old fairgrounds. It's back by the lake, like I said. Of course, they'll be directing you. They'll be, you know, most of the old fairgrounds will be places for people to park. And then, of course, you'll make your way on foot back down toward the lake. It is a convenient location, located there on West 50, so there's, going to be fairly easy to handle traffic in and out of there. He was there, I guess, just days, actually, before the election, if you remember. It was on that last blitz as he was, making three stops a day. He made Tampa one of them during that, very last push. I meant Orlando and Pine Hills area in particular that last day. And I don't think it's any coincidence that he's coming back to Central Florida. All right, let's think about this for a minute.
Well, it is his thanks to her.
Well, but he could have gone to North Florida where his support was much stronger.
Yeah, but North Florida is typically Republican.
Or he could have gone to Jacksonville. What I'm saying is he chose right here. Right here where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Must have been your strong influence, right?
I don't know. Maybe our voices were being reckoned with out there in ways that we didn't know. Let's just, if you haven't been to one of these, you need to go. If you have been, you're probably going to want to go back. But once again, of course, it's free. You do need to get the ticket thing, just like in the campaign. You go to DonaldJTrump.com to get your tickets, unless you have, many of you might have already gotten a text or an email offering you the tickets, or even a phone call. Kathy Santomassino, got a phone call this afternoon telling, basically saying, we're coming to town, if you want to get tickets, here's how, type thing, punch one or whatever. And the so the event is free, need a ticket, but it is free, and they open the doors at 4 o'clock, which means the line is going to probably start about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, but nonetheless, there'll be plenty of room for everybody. It's just a matter of how close do you want to get as to how early you go. Well, I can't say that, because, they turn people away at every one of these things, so no, I can't say that there'll be room for everybody.
You think the line is only going to start at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning?
I mean, I don't know.
People queue up the night before for a stupid TV.
Well, they do, but the event itself is scheduled to begin at 7 o'clock, okay? So it's going to be a cool event. It'll be in the evening. It'll be dark by that time.
Yep.
So you'll have the effects of, lighting and, of course, the sound system and everything. It's going to be a neat event. Let's just say that. It's going to be a real neat event. So if you can get out there to it, you may definitely want to do it. Did you see Donald Trump yesterday at the Army-Navy game?
I know he was there. I didn't watch the game.
Well, you had just finished up your show when the game started, and I was at that golf tournament, the Southern Sam McDowell Golf Tournament. We'll be talking about that during the week. When I can't wait to talk about it when McBath is on the show. And anyway, the Army-Navy game, the first half was pretty ugly. Navy was very sloppy. They completed three passes to Army.
Oh.
And none to their own receivers.
That's unusual.
And what's even more unusual is at halftime, Army had more first downs than Navy had run plays. Now, how that was managed, I don't know. Army must have just been methodically marching up and down the field. Like I say, I didn't see the first half, but the second half was a real thriller because Navy came back. It was 14 to nothing at the half. And then Navy scored right after the half, and it was 14 to 7. Navy then scored a field goal, went on to score another touchdown. So it was 24 to. I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, Army ended up winning the game.
Which, isn't it normally Navy that beats them?
For 14 years in a row, it had been.
Right.
Yes. So it was a very special moment. And this is part of the the pageantry and the really the cool excitement about college football, especially when you have these intense rivalries, especially when one team has been kicking the snot out of the other one for a long time, because you have this really built up, pent up need to, you know, emotionally enjoy the moment. And boy, they did yesterday, and all the cadets flooded down onto the field. It was great to see. And what was also great to see is that after this game is over, the tradition is, and it was carried out once again yesterday, each team's fight song, alma mater song, is sung, okay? The bands play, and the first team to sing is the losing team. So the Navy's, and most of the Navy midshipmen, they stuck around kind of for that, but then they kind of left. But the team is on the field in front of the band, and they sing their song, and then it is the winning team that gets to sing. But the losing team does not go into the locker room. They don't leave. As a matter of fact, they walk over and they stand next to the winning team as the winning team sings their song. And it's a show of that camaraderie that on this field we may be opponents, but when we leave this stadium, we are brothers in arms, right? And we rely on one another and count on one another and love one another. And it's really a great moment in American history, and I don't believe you see anything like that anywhere else. I know I've never heard of it.
No, I haven't either.
And Trump was there yesterday, and he when he appeared in the box, he was very loudly received by and let's just say he got a great round of applause and cheers from
which
the, from
is
the
more
crowd.
Than Obama ever got out of the troops.
And nobody can ever find a record of a president-elect having attended the Army-Navy game before.
Oh, okay.
Although you would think maybe, I don't know, it'd be kind of the thing to do. Now, Gerald Ford never had a chance. And he played college football. Maybe he would have if he'd had a had ever been elected president of the United States. Of course, he was elected, or wasn't elected. He was made president because Nixon resigned, and then he lost his reelection bid, or his election bid. But nonetheless, it was a great moment yesterday. Trump was received very warmly by the military, and he even spoke at halftime with old Vern Lundquist. Vern's last game calling college football. Going to miss Vern Lundquist. He'd been calling college football, been hearing that guy's voice for a long time. He'll still call some of the Masters and some of the basketball in March, but going to really miss him calling college football, some of these guys. Because, you know, I was thinking yesterday as he was giving his farewell, and you could tell that he was, you know, it was tough for him to give that farewell. It always is, you know, but that's why I hate farewells. I hate goodbyes. But anyway, it made me think that, you know, these sports broadcasters like that, I'm not talking about these talking faces you see on the NFL pregame shows or on ESPN Sports Center or something like that. I'm talking about the people who call the action, right? The play-by-play guys and the color commentary guys. They kind of do what we do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're on TV, but only their voices. You don't really see their faces. You hardly ever see their faces, right? And in many cases, you don't even know what they look like.
Right.
But you hear their voices, and they kind of make that connection with you, right?
Yeah, they become family in your living room.
Exactly, right. You know, and so in that sense, a lot of admiration for what they do. And going to miss you, Vern. If you're out there listening, you did a great job, and they can't do anything better, but we'll see what they can do to try to keep up with you. All right, I've already run through one of our break times, so we'll go ahead and take it this time around. But once again, if you want to see all the great stuff we're putting up on Facebook, just go to American Adversaries on Facebook, and don't forget to visit our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. That's where you can sign up to be a member of the American Adversaries Army, and we really do appreciate you folks who are signing up. That really helps out a lot. We will be right back. Enjoy the music. Folks,
Please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123, 877-377-8123, or visit them at myphf.com.
Patriot Home Funding Incorporated is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, number NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepard. Jerry and his wife, Jana, own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look at over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show.
That's for you there, David Levitt. God bless you. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries as we try to warm you up for Christmas celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be playing some Christmas songs, some Christmas carols, and so we'll try to get you in the mood. And I'm working on something a special for will be, of course, here on Friday the 23rd, but then we won't be here the 25th, of course, but we're going to do something special on the 23rd to really help you get in the mood. Okay, celebrate the birth of Christ. That's what the season is all about. All right, talking about Trump, new commander-in-chief, and certainly the people he is going to be commanding are very, very excited about Donald Trump replacing the present commander-in-chief. But the media themselves, they're not so excited, of course. They're all in a Twitter, and they're out there, in essence, trying to reclaim some form of legitimacy or relevancy. I think relevancy is even more the key word here, because they are becoming more and more irrelevant.
Yep.
And it's because they're making their own self as such. Donald Trump is going around them. Who was it? Dick Cheney? Even Dick Cheney this week said that he told the media, "We don't need you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so they're going around the media with Facebook, with Twitter, with alternate media sources. Of course, you got us out here doing what we do. And all what we do is pursue the truth wherever it takes us. That's where we're willing to go. And we're just not willing to go down a pig in a poke, so to speak, or jump off a cliff because somebody says, oh, look, it's snowing, or, oh, look, it's hot today. The world is collapsing around us, right? So, we're not that gullible around here. I might miss a joke every now and then, but that's about as gullible as I can be, right? Donald Trump is, finding out right away, the way the media is going to treat him. And, of course, all they know to do is be these snarky little immature brats. And saw a good example of it this morning on Meet the Press, with Chucky Boy Todd, and he had Reince Priebus on there. And they were going round and round about Russia, the CIA, Rex Tillerson, and then how it involved the DNC, the GOP, and even the FBI. So I want to kind of go through this because the media is trying to make something of this. And, of course, you have Obama himself. Just the other day, the White House announced that they are pursuing a report. They want to know what went on with this Russian hacking and what was the extent of their, quote-unquote, meddling.
Right. Before he leaves office, he wants the report.
Yeah, right. And so, which, of course, is going to freak out a lot of people. And, oh, God, now he's the day of inauguration. He's going to cancel the inauguration because of this report. He's going to declare that this proves that the election of Donald Trump was illegitimate and da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. No, that's not going to happen, okay? On the 19th, the Electoral College is going to elect Donald J. Trump to be president of the United States. And barring a catastrophe such as the meteorite hitting the planet, he will be inaugurated on the 20th. Now, what they're trying to do is undermine his legitimacy, his relevancy as a president. You see, they don't have any more themselves. They have exhausted it.
They're trying to bring him down to their level.
And in doing so, regain what they have lost.
Right.
You see, they're trying to flip it back now. Mm-hmm. They're trying to, the reverse shuffle or whatever you want to call it. They're trying to take back what they have lost and take it away from Donald Trump. The only problem for them is it's not going to be so easy to do that. You see what I'm saying? Because you do have others out there, and you got what Donald Trump is surrounding himself with is not only people who are capable of doing the tasks at hand, but are also capable of going out and defending it.
Yep.
All right? Now, Priebus this morning was a champ. All right? Him and Chuck Boy Todd going at it. And we'll see if maybe we can find this and put this on our Facebook page, because it was classic stuff and stuff you haven't really seen before, this fight back, okay, against the media. And what it's all about, this idea that the Russians influenced our election and that they wanted Donald Trump to win.
Well,
okay, and then, by the way, they are now trying to also tie Rex Tillerson into this whole thing, mm-hmm. Okay? And we'll get into that also.
But, isn't this a case of the pot calling the kettle black?
And how do you mean by that?
Well, I seem to remember the Obama administration trying to interfere in the election in Israel.
Now, there you go, jumping ahead again.
I'm so good at that, I should be two people.
Because it came out as part of all this, and this was from Mike Mullally, I think his name. Let me get it. I got it written down right here. His name was Mike McFaul. Michael McFaul. He's a former ambassador to Russia.
Okay? Uh-huh.
And the Russians kicked him out. Okay, because they thought that their elections were being tampered around with by the State Department. And mm-hmm. at that time, the Secretary of State was guess who?
Let me think. Was it possibly a woman?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, one wasn't Madeleine Albright.
No.
It wasn't Condoleezza Rice.
It was a
It was a skanky.
Blonde.
It was a skanky
blonde
woman who takes a bath maybe once a month
and tries to run for president every now and then.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
If there was something going on, and if the Russians were behind it, and oh, by the way, the intelligence agencies are just reporting that there is a high level of confidence. There's a great deal of circumstantial evidence, right? But no, there is no conclusive evidence.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, in the cyber world, Donald Trump is exactly right. It could be some guy, some pimply kid in his pajamas in Seattle making it look like the Russians are doing it. All right? But let's assume, okay, that the Russians did do it. According to Michael McFaul, their first and foremost reason would be revenge against Clinton and Obama for messing around with their affairs. And oh, yes, they did do it. And yes, they did it in Israel as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it more openly. They sent in some of the main advisors and staff of the Obama election team to help the opponents win.
Right.
Guess where else they did it? Brexit. Remember the Brexit?
Yeah.
Well, who went over there himself and thrust himself into the middle of it?
But you see, it's a case of don't emulate us.
Right.
We're above the law.
Right, right, exactly. And I'm here to tell you, too, there's any number of governments that could have done this and would have had the motivation to do it. Just look at all of those countries where we messed around in their elections.
All our allies who we stabbed in the back.
You can start with Russia, the Great Britain, Israel.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, when Christ was born. Oh, night divine.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Hope that's getting you in the mood. This kind of chilly, wintry weather should be helping get you in the mood, too.
All right. But that ends tonight. We're going to be in the 80s tomorrow.
There you go.
I'm preempting you again.
Get that thing. That's all right. We got cooler weather coming. But look at the way the rest of the country is getting slammed.
I like that.
Yeah, really. I hope you're not going to Chicago.
I love looking at snow on Facebook.
A bunch of flights getting canceled out of Chicago, that's for sure. There you go. That's right. Well, I hope you're in the mood for some more good live radio right here tonight. And, of course, you got Armed American Radio with Mark Walters coming up after us. We're talking about the latest attempt by the media to regain some sense of self-worth, shall we say. And they're really pumping this story about Russia, quote-unquote, interfering with our elective process. And the supposed the CIA reveals this. In fact, it's a New York Times article in the Washington Post. okay, quoting unnamed sources once again. All right, this is not the CIA reporting this. It is the media reporting this as fact, as though the CIA is. And it was interesting to see old Chuck Boy Todd and writes the adult Priebus this morning when Priebus was challenging him, okay, who are your sources? If you say you know that it's the CIA, who is saying it?
Right.
All right?
We can't say.
No, they're not going to say because he doesn't have them.
No, of course he doesn't.
He's sourcing. His source is the New York Times and the Washington Post, you see? And they don't, you know, and even then you can have sources in the CIA who don't like Trump. Guess what? A lot of the people working at the CIA are there because they wanted to be Barack Obama's CIA. Mm-hmm. Right? And they're going to resent the fact that Trump is in there. Just because somebody works for the CIA does not mean that they are a card-carrying member of the NRA and the GOP. Okay? Forget that nonsense. And that goes for every doggone branch of the federal government. As a matter of fact, you can pretty much assume the opposite is true.
Right.
That if they're working for government, the majority of liberals. Exactly.
Right.
Because that's who gravitates towards that type of job.
Them and the media.
Exactly. So even if it is the damn CIA, high confidence of circumstantial enough. These are the words, and they're trying to, you know, undermine a new president is what they're really trying to do here. This isn't going to try to end the inauguration. It's, in fact, they want Donald Trump. Let me tell you something. These doofuses in the liberal media and a few other idiots out there like Soros and Nance Pelosi and a few others think that they're going to be able to flip Trump the way we flipped Obama. In other words, use Trump as a springboard to bring back the Democratic Party, you see. Mm-hmm. And the way they're going to do that is they're going to let him go ahead and get inaugurated, and then they're going to try to eviscerate him. Right? They're going to try to castrate him. They're going to try to do everything that they can. And, oh, they'll have the smiley faces and all. Oh, well, we're trying to get along with the man. He just won't get along with us. And we have all these po-folk out here who need us. And, oh, he's and look at and Rex Tillerson and oh, my God, he got all Linda McMahon. You know, they're going to try to do everything that they can to make sure he does not succeed at making America great again so that they can then win back power and legitimacy, you see?
Well,
so don't worry about him getting inaugurated. Worry about what's going to happen as soon as that happens, okay? Because that's when they're going to really come full on with this. And this is the prelude to it. This is the setup to it. That's why Mr. B.O. wants it the day of or the day before or by, quote-unquote, by inauguration day.
Right.
Like, what in the hell is he going
to
do with it? Wipe his butt?
He wants to try and delegitimize Trump.
That's the whole point.
Right.
It's to set the stage for the next 4 years, you see. And they'll constantly go back to this. But mark my words, they're going to constantly go back to this, all right? And now Tillerson. Now, and by the way, before I get to Tillerson, Priebus pointed out this morning, because part of this story is that the Russians hacked both the DNC and the GOP.
But they only released.
In fact, according to the FBI, let's bring now the FBI into this story. According to the FBI, according to Reince Priebus, as of a couple of, quote unquote, a couple of days ago, in other words, when this story began to break, when the GOP recontacted, and I say recontacted the FBI confirmed that no, they found no evidence of that. And why did they recontact? What do you mean by recontact the FBI? Okay, well, remember when this story very first began to break? This was way back during the early part of the general campaign, I believe, maybe even in the primary. Okay, where these WikiLeaks, all these WikiLeaks dumps were coming out.
Right.
And the story was it was the Russians.
Russians.
Right? The Russians. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. And so what the GOP did, what he did as the chairman of the Republican Party, was when that broke, he said, well, we need to find out if they're doing it to us, okay? So the GOP contacted the FBI.
and ask the FBI to come in and check out their systems and tell them if there's anything that they can do to ensure that it won't happen to them. Now, the FBI offered the same advice to the DNC, and the DNC rejected it. In other words, when the FBI offered to help them better secure their property, they rejected the FBI's offer. As opposed to the DNC, the GOP requested that help and used it. Okay? And at that time, the FBI found that, no, you're cool, so far, so good. And also, here's what you can do to keep it that way. And they implemented those things, and it stayed that way. But even then, let's assume for a moment that the GOP had been hacked. What really was the nature of the WikiLeaks releases? It was gossip, mostly, right? I mean, but it was also the revelations of the dirty tricks on the DNC side, like old Donna Brazil slipping the questions to the Clinton team before the debates, and other such underhandedness and the snarkiness that they have, and the elitist attitude they have toward their constituents, and the contempt they have for others, even their supporters like Catholics. Right? And needy, what they call them, needy Mexicans or needy Latinos. That's the kind of snarkiness that was coming out. I guarantee you, you ain't going to find stuff like that at the GOP.
No, you won't.
You know, you're going to find a lot of boring stuff that nobody's really going to want to care to read.
But, you know, there's reasons why the Democrats did not want the FBI's advice or help.
Because?
They had all those open servers, unsecured servers.
Well,
they would have, Hillary's stuff would have been exposed even more.
Well, in fact, you kind of got it right. They were hiding stuff.
Yes, they're always hiding stuff.
Right.
There's nothing honest about the DNC.
So if you're hiding something, who's the last people you want snooping around trying to help you?
Right, the people in charge of law and order.
Right, exactly. So all of this is just... What's a phrase that I've heard recently that would probably fit this pretty good? Fake something?
Fake news?
Fake news.
Fake
there
news.
You go. How about
as
that?
Reported by Brian Williams.
And all the rest. Yeah, how about those fools?
And Hillary Clinton. Oh, a video.
That's right. As a matter of fact, the whole effort by these buffoons is not going to work this time. It's just not. And by the way, this ambassador, this former ambassador to Russia, who was kicked out because the Russians once again were mad about us tampering in their election, and we did. It wasn't just allegations. We did do it.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, Hillary Clinton's State Department. Because that's who, along with the CIA, carries out such operations. According to Michael McFaul, this former ambassador, he does not believe that that they cared if it was Donald Trump, that it was mainly they just wanted to get back at Hillary Clinton. And he does not believe that it was that they were successful. In other words, there were other factors involved in Hillary Clinton being defeated. But once again, the whole point here is that these fake news makers. All right, I think we've come up with a version of the fake news stories. Well, we got fake news makers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the mainstream liberal media, the guys like Chuck Boy Todd there this morning. And you could see he was quite flummoxed and frustrated and put out with Priebus, because Priebus didn't back down. And Priebus wasn't letting him interrupt and do, you know, the silly little tricks that they do. And he wasn't letting him lay the premise and all of this and buying into it and then, you know, defending it. No, he was ripping right back and said, look, you need to get your facts right, you know, before you basically. And so this is what we're going to see, because the media types are not going to, once they get slapped around a little bit, they'll still come back for more. But here's, once again, the difference is this administration is going to give it to them.
It has a backbone, unlike the
right
House and the Senate.
If they want to get slapped around, bring it on, because this administration will do the slapping. And it's adults.
The adults are now in charge, and the children are throwing a temper tantrum. All right, we'll be back with more of The American Adversary.
Make my wish come true.
Hi, I'm Scott Miller from MyLibertyThreads.com. I've developed an American-made t-shirt brand that helps conservative Americans express themselves. I've traveled the country extensively over the last 3 years, helping proud Americans everywhere get their points across. As friends of the American Adversaries program, we're offering promotion for all the listeners of this show. All you have to do is check out our website at MyLibertyThreads.com and enter promo code AAR2014 on any purchase you make, and you'll save $3. That's $3 just by entering AAR2014, all caps. That's MyLibertyThreads.com, and remember, American-made t-shirts just feel better.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S. Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089.
Back to the American Adversaries. I hope this music's getting you in the mood. Aubrey sounds like he's getting in the mood here.
Oh, I'm in the mood.
He's always in the mood. All right. If you're in the mood to give us a call, please do so. Feel free at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. Before we get back to the conversation, I want to remind you, if you need a little more help getting in the mood for the season, you might want to head over to Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs this Tuesday and the following Tuesday. That'd be the 13th and the 20th, because they got some really great stuff over there planned. It's David Teams, who's going to be there Tuesday evening the 13th, and he's an great Christian performing artist, singer, songwriter, author, and that begins at 7 o'clock. The performance is free. It's right there on the patio. It's a great venue for that sort of thing. Of course, Tijuana Flats, a great Mexican restaurant, and if you get over there, please say hey to Rick Brown and tell him you heard about it on the show. He'd love to meet you.
He's a good guy.
He absolutely is. Rick's a real cheerful fella, and he's a joy to talk to, and I'm sure you know folks know from listening to him, he's a joy to listen to as well. And David Teams is as well, and it's going to be a great performance this Tuesday night, Tijuana Flats, Winter Springs, which is located, it's real easy to find. It's right at the intersection of 434 and Tuscaloosa Boulevard, and it's also in the, well, because it's there, it is in the Winter Springs Town Center Shopping Center there, right? And it's a great location. And as I said, you'll really enjoy that. And then the week later at the same location, it's going to be tuba carols, tuba caroling, tuba Christmas carols, which, I mean, that's just fun listening
right.
to a tuba, right?
Right.
I mean, and then to hear them, you know, toot some Christmas carols, that's going to be a whole
Very
lot of fun.
Cool.
And once again, that's free. And right there on the patio, Winter Springs, Tijuana Flats, 434 and Tuscaloosa Boulevard. Okay, let's go to Keith on the line right now. Keith, thank you for calling and listening tonight. We really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you, and I thank you for what you're doing. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to share, I think your analogy of the adults are now in charge, I mean, I've listened to a lot of talk radio, but I think that that is spot on, and I watch, and I kind of get enjoyment out of it because Trump is actually doing what he said he's going to do, and they just don't know how to handle him. But they're acting like children, and yep. Move aside and let the adults lead, and you'll see that this country can be great again.
Yeah. You know, what made me think of it is an old episode of the Andy Griffith Show. I happened to catch a little bit of the other night. And it was the one where Opie has a new friend. And the new friend tries to show Opie how to be spoiled. In other words, how to throw temper tantrums, right? And it just made me think. I mean, that's what these people are doing. They're throwing temper tantrums. You know, you got women cutting their hair off, dyeing it black. You got, I forget who it was who said that she hadn't been able to have sex, and it was all because of Donald Trump. You got you got the crying rooms at universities, the crayons, the Play-Doh. You got the marching in the streets. This is all immature behavior. And then you have Hillary Clinton, you know, blaming it on James Comey and quote unquote fake news, and not looking in the mirror and seeing that she's the failure. She's the one who failed here. See, I had a friend I knew. He did counseling, and he said the sign of maturity is when you stop blaming others for your insecurities and your own shortcomings, you see. So the sign of immaturity is when you see, you know, the opposite behavior. So that's exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, Trump woke up a lot of people, and people are seeing them just for what they are. You know, my daughter is 10 years old, and she will not need a safe space when she goes to school. I can guarantee that.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
I love your show. And tell Aubrey to drop that fake accent.
Oh, never. Never.
Thank you, Keith. God bless you much.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Good night. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. But it is. It's like the adults are in the room now. And just look at who Trump is surrounding himself with, and look who Obama surrounded himself with. Barack Obama literally surrounded himself with children, immature young people, and green. What I mean by green is very little real world experience at all.
Well, you know, there,
even
he
in
had
their
a lot
own
of
fields.
Professors. All right, he had professors. He had other. Antagonists. Muslims. He didn't have anyone with experience.
And that's also because many of them were millennials, or just barely not in the millennial generation. They're too young to have any extensive real world experience and knowledge and wisdom. You see, they're full of idealism and ideology, and they don't know practical applications, and that's why you see their policies being so disastrous.
Well, you know, they're blaming Trump for hiring people from Wall Street. Well, who do you want in charge of your finances? You want someone from Wall Street, or do you want someone that's living on the streets and he's holding up a cardboard sign, homeless,
well,
hungry?
As a matter of fact, the one area where Barack Obama did hire people with some real-world experience was as Treasury secretaries, because they were both from Goldman Sachs, Wall Street.
Yeah, but who?
Right?
But Tim Geithner.
Yeah, but what the whole point is, that's where he went for real-world experience. Everywhere else, he did not go for real-world experience.
But he still chose the village idiot.
Yes, from that group of people. But that's where he went, because he knew it was crucial for somebody in Treasury to understand the inner workings of the banking system and the financial system. And believe it or not, you're not going to find them at Harvard, Yale, or even Stanford. You have to find that from the people who have had their hands on the levers, so to speak. And Trump's done the same thing. They've all done the same thing. Okay, so, and you can go all the way back to Franklin Roosevelt appointing Joe Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
right? And the reason he did that is he says, you know, if you got to know, you know, if you're going to know about how they rob banks, you got to have a bank robber to show you. And actually, Joe Kennedy came up with some of the best regulations for banking that have ever been, you know, come up with. So You go where the experience is, and it is. This is an adult approach, whereas the whole Obama approach and the whole liberal approach is the immature, the childish approach, because it's that immediate gratification. It's that, you know, it's all about feeling and emotion and very little in the thought process and everything. And see, the beauty of Trump is he can work both ends. He, mm-hmm. his instincts, he knows the feeling and the emotion part, but he also knows how to get things done. And you just see him when you see him walking. I mean, you go, there's a man. I mean, there's a mature individual, right? Just the way he handles himself walking. And you see next to Obama, and Obama walks with that sort of arrogant, you know, strut, swagger. He's got some swagger, but it's arrogance, right? Trump's is just comfortable confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable confidence. And that's what it is to be mature and to have wisdom and experience. And we don't have that anymore, in, at least in this administration, or I dare say in the media. You know, a lot of the faces you see in the media are young faces, and they don't have the real world experience that you need to develop wisdom, because you can't get wisdom out of books. I don't care how hard you try. It just does not happen. It comes with dealing with real world things and seeing the best of humanity and the worst as well. That's how you become wise. And so, the adults are taking over, and it's a glorious thing to behold. But as I said, these other people are going to be thorns in Trump's side, but that's okay. I mean, that's why we're here.
He's a big boy. He can handle it.
He can handle it. That's right. And once again, he is coming to town Friday. Doors open 4 o'clock. Event begins 7 o'clock, Central Florida Fairgrounds Amphitheater, which is back there by the lake. Easy to find there on West Colonial Drive. And if you haven't been to one of these Trump rallies, you'll have a time of your life, believe me. And especially if you can get some of the young kids with you to go out there, some of the young folks. Because I was talking with John Siebert yesterday at the Sudden Sam McDowell Golf Charity Tournament. He was out there playing with us, John Siebert, Patriot Home Funding.
Right.
And we were talking about this Trump thing, and he says, you know, this is going to be a generational thing. And in if we handle this right, and if Trump is successful, even moderately, at making America great again, it may not be so much the millennials. We'll get some of them. But the generation after that will be ours to keep.
Well, and,
right?
And
because that's going to be the ones that will benefit from the educational system that right. we will be setting up for them.
Right. And if Trump proves to be successful and he lasts those 8 years, is an incredibly good chance that Mike Pence will continue.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you'll have 16 years of people with brains running
adults.
The country.
Adults in the room. Exactly. Adults in the room. All right. Speaking of adults in the room, we're going to have an adult join us in this room here in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Steve Gushov, the Director of Legal Immigrants for America, is going to check in with us. And I hope you'll still be here with us. We got a whole another 2 hours to go here tonight. Once again, we're playing some of our favorite Christmas carols and Christmas songs. Of course, Christmas, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and we're trying to help get you in the mood for that. And, of course, we know many of you are out there also celebrating Hanukkah, and we wish you a happy Hanukkah as well. And please stick around for more of the American Adversaries. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Please, got great stuff going up there every day. Thanks to Kathy Santomassino, Facebook, American Adversaries, and AmericanAdversaries.com is our website where you, too, can join the American Adversaries Army and be a part of what we do around here, literally. All right? Stick around. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the American Adversaries Sunday Evening Classic Tour.
The land. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Bad, 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 bad,
All right, I hope you're feeling good out there this Sunday evening as the weekend winds down and the week winds up. And we got another 2 hours to do here tonight. Thank you for being with us. We really do appreciate it. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. I got my African-American here with me. That'd be Aubrey Kahn.
Yes.
Member of Legal Immigrants for America. And I have the director of Legal Immigrants for America in the studio with me, too, Stephen Gushov. Steve, it's always great to see you.
Not to be confused with the adult that you said was coming on at 6 o'clock. But it's always good to be here, Chris.
Did you say adult?
Adult. That's what Chris said.
Adult.
A-D-O-L-T. No. Adult?
Adult. Yeah, maybe that's what
adult.
Chris was saying. Yeah.
No. Jeff Sinis, of course, is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. And if you haven't heard the news yet, Legal Immigrants for America is a great organization. They did the Lord's work and our work during the campaign season, but now it's time to get down to the really hard work, and we need you to join up and help out, and because there's a lot of stuff yet to be done. And it's going to be difficult. You know, the media is going to fight tooth and nail every step of the way. You know, the liberals are going to fight tooth and nail every step of the way. And, of course, their representatives in Congress are going to do their bidding for them. So got to ramp up now. I mean, the fun's over. Now it's time for the serious work. But, Steve, I got to admit, I think you kind of been holding out on us. Now, I was over at the Christmas celebration at Heathrow Country Club today, right?
And holding out on you? In what way, my friend?
Well, when you got up there and talked about all the things that you guys did during the year, I don't think you've ever given the whole list on our radio show
before.
You named about 15 or 16 states where you guys were working in.
You're right, because what we've done is over the course of the year, we've mentioned all those different things at one time or another.
Yeah.
But today, where we did it, it was just, you know, bullet points, boom, 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 and stuff. And
but you so got them? Did you bring them with you?
I don't have it with me, but I can go right through it.
Well,
in terms of, what did we do this year?
Because I want the people to know what's happening with LIFA and how hard you guys are working, you know, to press this issue.
Yeah, in other words, you know, what did LIFA do this year? We grew no grass under our feet. We published the Immigration Voters Guide, which, you know, over 16,000 of them were distributed in English and in Spanish all across the nation. We know that the Trump campaign used them at their headquarters and distributed them at rallies in Florida and in other states. So nationwide, the Trump campaign was using Legal Immigrants for America's immigration voter guides to compare and contrast Trump versus Clinton. 16,000 distributed, we know that played a major role, particularly here in Florida and Trump's victory.
Plus, they could be downloaded and reproduced,
absolutely.
So you don't know how many of them
exactly
actually got out there.
So it went viral, exactly. The Bible and Immigration, huge outreach to pastors and to churches. It's in its second printing. A lot of people are buying them as Christmas gifts right now. And we know, again, all across the country, we sold loads of those out in Las Vegas and in California and elsewhere where people were buying them for their pastors and church leaders. We had different, you know, events, live speaking engagements, hundreds of speaking engagements from here to California and back. We engaged people in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, D.C., Maryland, Illinois, Las Vegas, California, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, all across the nation. Because a lot of people, you know, you have to remember that immigration is something that is a nationwide problem. Now, you were with us today. You did a wonderful job. Thank you very much for what you did with the Solitary Life speech. But it fit in perfectly with what we've done because immigration was such an important issue this year. And we knew that it was the number one issue in the campaign because Trump made it the number one issue. So we knew that we had to leverage that issue this year at Legal Immigrants for America. So we did the speaking engagements all across the nation. We did the Immigration Voters Guide. We did the Bible and Immigration book. Being on this show every week, you know, was very helpful. We sponsored a show out in Las Vegas as well. Tens of thousands of people have visited golifa.com, the website, you know, over the course of the year, and have read our articles, have looked at our videos. We were on CNN with Anderson Cooper. We were on Dutch TV as well. So we have an international following now as well.
And you mentioned video. You also distributed a number of those Dinesh D'Souza.
We distributed Dinesh D'Souza. You know, he put out Hillary's America, and so we broadcast that 2 months ago in October, right before the election, and then Dinesh and his people sent us about 200 copies of the DVD, and we distributed them all across the nation. Now, even right here in Central Florida, for instance, UCF, the College Republicans, broadcast Hillary's America. And so because we sent them a copy, lots of other tea parties, lots of other church groups, we did a lot of that distribution because, you know, as we said at Legal Immigrants for America, leading up to November 8th in the presidential election, we had to leave everything on the field. We had to come to November 8th and know that we had done everything in our capacity all year long to make sure that the next president of the United States, the president-elect, was someone who's going to be solid on immigration policy. And so mission accomplished, basically. But it's interesting, Chris, because now what we're seeing is people have to be careful. In other words, what we're seeing is that a lot of people are taking an attitude right now that, oh, that's great. Trump won. You have someone that's good on immigration in the White House. We don't have to do anything for the next 4 years. Wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. Trump is great, but we have to go to Washington now and hold his feet to the fire and the Republican Congress's feet to the fire as well, because particularly with regard to the Congress, we've heard this 1,000 times before, where it's like they promise the world and then don't do anything. So that's why Lifer is committed to being in Washington on a regular basis in 2017. And that's why it's so important. Now we're at the year end. We're having our year end campaign. So that's why it's important for people to support us, to allow us to continue to do the work. We are not resting on our laurels, just the opposite. We want to leverage everything we did in 2016 in 2017 in Washington. So everyone that's listening now, I just ask that you go to golifer.com today or this week and just click on the blue donate button. Donate whatever you can for a donation of $25 or more. You'll get a copy of the Bible and Immigration. I'll autograph it for you. If you want additional copies, they're $10 each. They are great stocking stuffers. Lots of people are buying them as stocking stuffers. So we really need people to go into golifer.com today and donate, and we'll be happy to send you as many copies of the book as you like, because we need to hit the ground running in 2017.
And, of course, Trump plans to hit the ground running in 2017 as well. By the way, are you going to make it out to the fairgrounds Friday?
Yes, I am. Yes, I got my email from the Trump campaign, and whenever, Thursday or Friday, when they first released the information,
right.
I will be there on Friday for the thank you tour. And, Chris, as you already know, for anyone that's listening, we had a wonderful Christmas party today, but our first event in 2017 in 5 weeks, on January 15th, 2017, at Heathrow Country Club, we're going to be having a Donald Trump pre-inauguration celebration. There's going to be more information at golifer.com for anyone that wants to attend a Donald Trump pre-inauguration celebration. It will be Sunday, January 15th, 12:30 p.m. at Heathrow Country Club.
All right, and you all are invited. So do come on out and join them for that. You know, an important cog, if you will, in the wheel of all of this is going to be the Secretary of State, right?
Correct.
And because just kind of describe why the Secretary of State is so important to the immigration issue.
Well, not just Secretary of State, but a Secretary of State that has a good email program as well.
Yeah.
No private servers.
Right, right.
You know, no home brews and stuff. Why? Because the Secretary of State is the globetrotter that goes around the world, you know, to defend and promote U.S. policy. So if you have a very liberal Secretary of State, such as those that we've had for the past 8 years, they're going to basically say to people in third world countries and across Latin America and everywhere else, come one, come all. We don't care if you're legal, illegal, you, your family, your kids, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, come to the USA. We'll give you whatever you need in terms of government benefits, free cell phones, free in-state tuition, driver's licenses, voting privileges, Obamacare, whatever you need, basically. We need a Secretary of State to present the message globally that if you're an illegal immigrant, you are no longer welcome in the USA. If you want to come and you can benefit this nation, you can benefit it economically, apply. We would love to have you here if you can do it in a legal sense, and you can better this nation. And that's a strong message that a strong Secretary of State needs to impart around the world.
Yeah, and you need somebody that, you're absolutely right, that can sell that message. But the Secretary of State also is in charge, because we have the embassies and they are in charge of the embassies and consulates around the world, which implement legal immigration. They know, maybe not implement it, but facilitate legal immigration.
That's where you do it.
Right, because you had to go to, where did you go to be able to get a visa to come to the United States, Aubrey?
Oh, I had to jump through all kinds
of
hoops.
Where did you
Johannesburg?
Where did you physically go? Did you go to the American Embassy, the consulate? Well, did you go to Woolworths
We applied at the consulate.
So the American consulate.
Right.
Okay, that's my point. You see, that is under the jurisdiction
of
the State Department. So it is the State Department that's a very crucial cog in the wheel of legal and therefore even a lot of illegal immigration, because we know that not just are illegals here from coming across the southern border, but they're also here because they came and overstayed a visa or something like that. Well, and that's where the State Department comes in, see?
And that's where the enforcement becomes the issue, because, you know, whoever is the new State Department Secretary, let's say it's Tillerson, for instance, Donald Trump is his boss. So whoever the Secretary of State is still answering to the president, and so their policy is going to be whatever the president wants it to be. So if you have a president that is soft on illegal immigration, as we've seen for the past 8 years,
right,
then you can go to any embassy, real or fake. They have fake ones, apparently, in Africa somewhere. And so you can go, do whatever you want, and they make it easy. When I lived in Peru, you know, I would go to the U.S. Embassy in Lima, Peru, heavily guarded complex down there.
Oh, of course.
And you would see just tons, hundreds, if not thousands of Peruvians lined up to try to get whatever sort of visa they needed and stuff. Most did not get it. But, you know, as administrations change, it becomes either easier or harder to get one. And so what you've seen in these past eight years is that a lot of people aren't even going to the embassy or the consulate anymore. They're just crossing the border.
Right.
Why go through all the hoops like our friend Aubrey had to do? Just cross the border and they're going to say, welcome to America. What can we give you?
All right.
That's where Trump will change things.
Okay. All right. Stick around. Steve, of course, will be here till 7 o'clock. We'll be here till 8 o'clock. I hope you'll be here the whole time. And don't forget Mark Walters with Armed American Radio. We'll take you from 8 to 11. A lot of great radio right here tonight, so please stay with us.
Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here.
Folks, please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years' experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123. 877-377-8123, or visit them at myphf.com.
Patriot Home Funding Incorporated is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, number NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepherd. Jerry and his wife Jana own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show.
if only we had Pasquale here.
Why, does he sing opera?
Well, he knows Italian. I mean, right? Welcome back to the American Adversaries. And Pasquale played golf with us yesterday at the Sudden Sam McDowell Golf Tournament. And that guy can hit the ball now. He can put it up there on the green. He's pretty doggone good. I was amazed. All right. Thanks for being with us tonight. Once again, we have Steve Gushov, the director of Legal Immigrants for America. GoLifa.com is where you can go to sign up and, once again, also to make donations. And the fight does go on. The fight never really ends, ever. This is another reason why I say politics is kind of like pro wrestling.
Yep.
Or you could liken it to any sport, for that matter, in this sense, in that no one game, no one event, no one match, no one election ever ends the battle. It goes on. And, in fact, it gets more intense after the election. And it's going to be very intense, especially as Trump tries to implement what these changes will be, building the wall, finding the illegals here who are committing criminal acts and all the others and doing something about it. There are going to be questions as, how do you do it? What do you do? Should we do it? And believe me, it can easily get lost in the noise of Washington, D.C. if there aren't loud voices, voices to be reckoned with. That's what we're going to start. We're going to start using that around here.
Good phrase.
You've heard that the old phrase, a force to be reckoned with. Well, that is Trump. We, in the meantime, are the voices to be reckoned with. But we got to keep them out there, and we got to keep them loud. And we need your help to do it. And LIFA needs your support directly. You can get these great books by Steve. And they're great gifts any time of the year, but of course this is sort of the gift-given time of year. But you need to have a copy of this book for yourself. And like you said, the fight now really begins when,
It begins January. Right now.
Yeah.
And because, it's, like I said, when people say to me, oh, you must be so glad the election's over, you can rest. My response is, do you think the Democrats are going to rest? Do you think the liberals are going to rest? Do you think Nancy Pelosi is going to rest?
Not for 1 minute.
Bernie Sanders? Or Chuck Schumer, or any of them, they are not going to rest. So how can we rest? Just the opposite. The work has begun already. I mean, Trump's not even in office, and you'll get all the attacking against him.
Right.
This is just going to get accelerated even more so come January 20th and afterwards. And so, again, that's why it's so important for us at Legal Immigrants for America, LIFA, to be able to have more impact in Washington. That's our goal and our objective for 2017, to have more impact on Capitol Hill. Chris, you were at the Christmas party today, and people have seen, in our mailing that we just sent out, our year-end mailing, we have an immigration survey that's going out. And we're going to hand-deliver the results right to Congress and the White House in Washington in 2017. So, again, that's why it's important for everyone listening to please go to golifa.com. Click on the donate button, order a copy of the book or several copies of the book, and I can guarantee you that everyone that reads it will be edified and educated by it, because it's not my opinion. This is what the Bible itself says about immigration. Great stocking stuffer for everyone out there.
Right. Did you hear about, by the way, and this just came to me, it's kind of out of the blue, but was it Austria who had a program we were going to trade refugees or something like that with them? Boy, I'll have to pull that story up during the next break. I came out of the blue with that, so don't worry about that now. We'll get to that here in a minute. Let's go back to Rex Tillerson for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does seem to be one of the finalists now for Donald Trump. Matter of fact, Trump gave an interview this morning on Fox to Chris Wallace where he talked about Tillerson, and Wallace is basically asking him, why Tillerson? And he was saying because he would do a great job as Secretary of State, and because he's a great deal maker and he knows the players.
Oh, sure.
He knows the players. And we talked about this on Friday's show. As a matter of fact, a week ago Friday, in other words, this would have been, what was Friday? What day was Friday?
That
was
the 9th.
Okay, so this would have been on the 2nd. We first started talking on this show about Rex Tillerson, and Dr. K was here that day, and we were saying, hey, this would probably be a smart pick. And the reason is, first of all, he has been with ExxonMobil for a long time. He's never worked for anybody else. That doesn't qualify him for Secretary of State. What does qualify him, however, though, is that ExxonMobil is in all of the hot spots of the world. Okay, the hot spots kind of seem to follow the oil business, or the other way around. It would depend on how you want to look at it. But Middle East, Russia, Asia,
Africa. That's South America, right? Venezuela. He's had to deal with the government of Venezuela when they got kicked out of when they nationalized the oil industry down there. ExxonMobil was one of the companies that had, you know, business ties down there. And so he knows all the players. He knows much more about them than somebody who has, you know, spent their life as a diplomat in Washington, D.C., because he actually gets out and meets these people face-to-face in an environment where world politics is part of the negotiating, but not all of it. But, you know, it just seems to me, I know a lot of people, oh, they have dealings with Russia and Putin and this and that. And, well, it kind of seems to me that a guy like Putin, you're not going to win him over by going over and lecturing to him. You're going to win him over by schmoozing him. Right? And this is what you do in the business world. And I was astonished to hear this morning, the guy evidently used to be in the government, used to write for the Washington Post, but he was sitting there on there talking about, well, Trump was saying that he's a great negotiator, talking about Tillerson. Obviously he is. And well, you don't negotiate in diplomacy. Well, we don't negotiate in diplomacy. Here's what we do. We talk about human rights. We talk about women's issues. We talk about xenophobia. And I'm sitting there thinking, and that's why, you damn doofus, you can't get any results in the world, because you're lecturing to these people instead of negotiating with them. Diplomacy is nothing but negotiating.
Yeah,
that is all that it is.
How's that worked out over the past 8 years?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. In negotiation, it's give and take. That's what it's all about. And for some doofus to come on, oh, he's a deal maker. Diplomacy is not about negotiation. I'm thinking, oh my God, yeah, he's talking about the children in the room, right?
It's utter foolishness. And I think one of the things that Trump likes about Tillerson, and this is exactly what you're saying, Chris, they're both successful businessmen.
Right.
You know, and so I think they have that in common. And, you know, the thing that happens too frequently, and I think we saw this with Hillary, is you get a lot of these career bureaucrats and career diplomats that are so engaged in focusing on their navels and focusing on policy from a philosophical standpoint that they totally miss what else is going on. And I think that's what you've seen over the past 8 years, where it's been this philosophical approach to diplomacy, and all it has done is make the U.S. the laughingstock in the world. No one has taken us seriously for the past 8 years. That's about to change.
And I think that's why Tillerson sort of leapt to the top of the list. Because look at everybody else Trump's been talking to. He's been talking to people that you just described from the rights perspective. Like John Bolton. Great guy, brilliant, but all his life has been in that world of diplomacy and such, right? And he would tend to lecture other world leaders. But they say that the idea is Tillerson's Secretary of State and Bolton Undersecretary. In other words, guy.
So he will be assisting him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be a dynamic duo, to steal a phrase.
Look at Trump and Pence. It's very similar. We have Trump, who's coming in, who doesn't have any political experience per se, but that's precisely what voters
wanted.
Good
point, yeah.
But you've got Mike Pence as VP. Pence has been a member of Congress. He's been a governor. He knows how to get things done on Capitol Hill, exactly, and just even in the state. So it's a good tag team, whether you're talking about Trump-Pence or Trump-Tillerson. And so it's like his people...
Or Tillerson-Bolton.
Or Tillerson-Bolton, exactly.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, because Bolton's a smart guy. In other words, he's very impressive when you see him on TV.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, and he's pretty hardcore. And so I think that they'll probably, you know, make a good team. But again, once again, they have to answer to Donald Trump. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And that was actually part of the beauty of Obama naming Hillary as Secretary of State. She couldn't go off the reservation at that point. She had to answer to him and kowtow to him, and he was able to get away with it.
But see, this is where a good negotiator is beneficial in diplomacy, and especially a guy like Tillerson, who knows all the key players on a personal level. Maybe not so much the world leaders, but the people who make the real decisions, okay? And so he can go to them and he says, and look, you trust me, right? I've never led you wrong, okay? This will be good for you too, and here's how. And he sells them the deal, you see? It's all about selling the deal. That's what negotiating is. You sell your deal to the players.
Chris, do you really think that Vladimir Putin cares whether or not Tillerson has a master's or a doctorate in international relations or public policy. Not at all. He knows this guy from having dealt with him on a one-on-one basis in Russia with ExxonMobil. So he's going to it's the same way he feels about Trump. He respects what Trump and Tillerson have done.
And what Tillerson comes with is all of that credibility. Yeah. You see, he's already dealt with these people. They've dealt with him. They know he's good for his word. Right? You understand
what I'm
saying?
They respect him. They're not laughing at him.
Exactly. And they know they've had good experiences dealing with him. I mean, to me, that's
no-brainer.
It shouldn't be. All right, we got to take another break. Once again, golifa.com, and please go there tonight and sign.
Herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries Sunday evening, three-hour classic tour. That's right, folks. The reason for the season is the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Please do not forget that. Happy Hanukkah also as well out there. And it is the gift-giving season. Don't forget, a great gift is The Bible and Immigration by Steve Gushaw in its second printing.
In its second printing, absolutely.
And you got a follow-up coming.
Yeah, and in 2017, we will have a new book coming out called The Christian in Immigration. That will be out early in 2017. It's the follow-up book to The Bible in Immigration.
And once again, this is a great stocking stuffer, a great gift, and you definitely need to read it yourself and have a copy for yourself. And please do help out Legal Immigrants for America. The lion's work of lion's share of the work, I should say, is ahead of us, not behind
Absolutely.
Us. And in a way, the election is the fun part, and now the work part begins because it's time to govern. And it's not going to be easy, you know, so it's going to be an uphill battle all the way, and we need everybody in the game, so to speak. So please be in the game with us. You are going to the inauguration?
Correct. I will be there. Yeah, absolutely. January 20th. And so it's going to be an interesting time because it seems like the Michael Moores of the world are gathering their troops as well, you know, in opposition. And so
are that's going to be. Are you going to meet with any Congress people while you're up there?
That's actually not the best time to meet with people because everything is inauguration-centric. Right. I've already, it's interesting, just this week.
Have you
week,
gotten your invitation to the ball?
I haven't yet. No, I haven't gotten a tux yet or anything like that.
Right.
But, you know, and because I've had discussions this week. I had a wonderful discussion with a good friend of Aubrey and mine who works for Daniel Webster, Cindy Brown.
Cindy Brown.
Yeah. And
wonderful woman, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful person. And I think she may be listening. Hello, Cindy, if you're listening. And having talked to Cindy, we have put in for the tickets. Absolutely, we're in all the raffles and lotteries and whatnot. But it's a bit of a difficult time to meet with members of Congress because, again, everything's so centering much around the inauguration, the festivities, the galas, the security as well.
Well, if I know Trump, he's probably going to have them all get right to work, too.
Well, yeah. And so, you know, we will be back in Washington right in February or March right away. Yeah. You know, once things have settled down after the inauguration to actually meet with people. This past July, I was in Washington. And, you know, in one single day, I met with representative staff members from Senator Rubio, Senator Nelson, John Micah, Vern Buchanan, and Gus Bilirakis, and someone else, I can't remember. But like five or six different staff members of different members of Congress, just boom, 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 once an hour, basically. And that's what we want to do because, again, you know, the liberals now and the progressives and whatnot, they're in a corner right now. You know, they feel themselves, you know, trapped in a corner.
Right.
It's like a wounded animal. They are not going to back down. I mean, again, look how much of a fuss they're putting up right now, and Trump's not even president yet.
Right.
And so this is not a time for people on our side to get complacent or to do a victory lap. And I'm going to say that probably 1,000 times, basically, where it's like Trump won. That's great. The Republicans are in control in Congress. That's great. It's better than the alternative. We know that. But this is not the time to lay low and go on vacation. And you're going to see that on the radio as well. I mean, it's the same thing where it's like we can't be complacent now. It's like a football team that, you know, has the ball. It's toward the end of the game. And they got the lead. You don't want to blow the lead. You need to take advantage and still go on offense. And so that's what LIFA wants to do. That's why it's so important for people to support us now as part of the year-end campaign. Go to GoLIFA.com. Please donate and get copies of the books and help us to make a major impact in Washington in 2017.
You know, when you really think about it, we really haven't won anything until we win the battle of implementing our policies.
Exactly.
It's one thing to win an election. It's another thing to win the votes in Congress and that sort of thing to get it all actually implemented.
Exactly.
And, of course, win the hearts and minds of as many of the rest of the nation as we can in the process and keep our side from getting discouraged.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, winning the election was so important. And that's why we said just all along the way, you know, from January right up to November 8th, that this election is a make or break election. And you said it, Aubrey said it, you know, we all said it. And so, you know, Trump is elected. We know that he's got an excellent immigration policy. But again, now he has to implement it. And we know that he's going to face a lot of opposition. So that's why we need to be on Capitol Hill. LIFA needs to be in Congress, because even among the Republicans, I mean, you see, you know, the John McCains of the world and the Lindsey Grahams of the world and stuff. We don't want them tripping things up because they've already started to, you know, talk about that. And we need to meet with them, engage them, and get them on the straight and narrow path. That's where they have to be. We don't want them going sideways. We don't want them going off the reservation. And we have said before that we are willing to meet with anyone on Capitol Hill. You know, in other words, we met with Senator Rubio's office earlier this year, met with some of his staff members in Orlando. They were very nice. They were willing to meet with us. We didn't see eye to eye. And obviously, Rubio has made his mistakes big time on immigration. But this is an opportunity for Senator Rubio now to work hand in hand with President-elect Trump to do a little better job on immigration. And we want to encourage him to do that. And, you know, and even, you know, as I said, I think the last time I was on, I met with Bill Nelson's staff. What in the world would we have in common with Senator Bill Nelson? But Bill Nelson was the first senator to call for an investigation of Disney after Disney laid off the 250 IT workers and forced them to train their replacements. Well, you know what? Good for him. You know, it's like he has a D after his name instead of an R. And how come no one with an R after their name called for an investigation right away? I don't know. But good for Nelson that he was willing to do that, willing to protect American workers. There may be not a single other issue that I agree with him on, but he was willing to protect American workers, and so we will commend him for that, and I told his people that. So LIFA wants to meet with everyone we can, every member of Congress, every member of the Senate. You know, we talked about Chris Kobach the last time I was on, Trump's immigration czar. We want to meet with him and others. That's why it's so important that everyone that's listening go to GoLIFA.com and donate, because we need your support. Please do not be complacent. This is not the time to be complacent. Help us make a difference in Washington. So just go to GoLIFA.com. And you can do it particularly any time between now and December 31st. Because, again, take advantage of the tax benefit. Do it before the end of the year to allow us to plan properly and appropriately to be in Washington regularly in 2017 to make sure that this immigration platform and policy that Trump has talked about and the Republicans have talked about gets implemented. It's one thing to talk it. It's one thing to talk the talk. Now they got to walk the walk, and LIFA wants to help them walk the walk. So please, everyone that's listening, go to GoLIFA.com. Click the blue donate button at the top of the home page. Get some copies of the book. You'll love it. Anyone you give it to will love it. And help us make an impact in Washington in 2017.
Right. And, of course, a big part of the work is going to be to reverse a lot of what Obama has done. By the way, I mentioned earlier a story. It's actually out of Australia, or about Australia. It's from One News Now and the Daily Caller. And it talks about how the Obama administration is accepting into the United States about 2,000 Middle Eastern refugees that Australia has rejected, and not saying why they have rejected them. Were you familiar with that story?
I did read that story. And what does that say? You know, Australia, pretty good economy, first world. If Australia is rejecting them, why in the world are we taking them? What does Australia know that we don't, or that we refuse to look at? You know, this isn't the Statue of Liberty giving your tired, huddled masses at this point.
Right.
And it's just, this is why, you know, Obama liked to say that he had his pen and his phone. Well, thankfully, Trump can do the same thing. And one of the things that we're looking at, and we're continuing to encourage the Trump administration on this, is day one, as soon as he finishes with the inauguration and his speech and the parade, get right in the Oval Office, settle down right behind the desk, get your pen out, start doing some executive orders to do away and eradicate all of the executive orders that Obama did with regard to illegal immigration.
You know, during the primary especially, he didn't do it so much during the general election, but during the primary, he talked about how all these refugees that Obama's bringing in here, he's going to send them back. You going to hold his feet to the fire on that? Is your understanding?
Absolutely.
Your understanding that he intends to follow through on that?
Absolutely. And that's where it's important, again, that Trump has a Secretary of State, as we were talking about before,
right,
who will also enforce that, because the Secretary of State is going to be working and negotiating and engaging through the State Department.
That these refugees are coming here. That's their program.
And that's why there's going to have to be some arm wrestling with some of these countries. It's like, you have to take these people back. If you want help and you want to have a nice relationship with the U.S., you have to do it. Have to.
Right.
You know, and that's why Tillerson or whoever it winds up being needs to get that message across strongly. You know what, Chris? If it comes across strongly, I think these countries are going to get it. Because there's a lot of money at stake as well. And these countries, if they want to continue to be friends with the U.S., they know they have to start treating the U.S. better. So if Trump and Tillerson says, you've got to take your people back.
Right.
Or you're not getting the golden eggs anymore.
Right.
You know, I think they're going to do it. See, that message hasn't been there for 8 years. That's the problem.
Right, right. And, of course, if it were up to the liberal mainstream media, stories like this wouldn't be reported at all. Right?
You'd never hear it.
They would. And, by the way, this was a secret deal between the Australian government and our government that's broken, that somebody leaked it out, and now Republicans in Congress are demanding that the Obama administration reveal the details of the deal. This is another one of those secret deals, like with the Iranians. And
you know it's going to be executive privilege. They can scream and shout all they want. They're not going to get the details.
Well, that's for sure. Not out of this administration. All right, but you'll always get the details from us, folks. That's right. We are the voices to be reckoned with. You can be too, but you can't do it by yourself. We can only do it together. Join LIFA. GoLIFA.com. All right, we'll be right back with more of tonight's show. Stick around, please.
I'm Scott Miller from MyLibertyThreads.com. I've developed an American-made t-shirt brand that helps conservative Americans express themselves. I've traveled the country extensively over the last 3 years, helping proud Americans everywhere get their points across. As friends of the American Adversaries program, we're offering promotion for all the listeners of this show. All you have to do is check out our website at MyLibertyThreads.com and enter promo code AAR2014 on any purchase you make, and you'll save $3. That's $3 just by entering AAR2014. All caps. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. And remember, American-made t-shirts just feel better.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S. Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089.
Welcome back to the show where Aubrey's having a gay old time tonight. All right. right. Welcome, as I said, to the American Adversaries. We are here until 8 o'clock. Armed American Radio will take you from 8 to 11 tonight. Real quickly, also, don't forget, Tuesday coming up, that's this Tuesday the 13th, and the following Tuesday the 20th, Winter Springs, Tijuana Flats is the place to be. And, of course, Steve knows Rick Brown real well. We were all here. All of us were here election night. And I still get compliments from that election night coverage, Steve. And, of course, you were a big part of it that night.
That was just wild. It really was. It's funny. I was talking to someone recently about that, and I said, you know what? I said, look, I said, it's almost the type of thing where you think about it nostalgically now. It's only like a month ago,
yeah,
but it's like it was history. It was historic. We will always remember where we were when Trump was elected. And it's like, because when you're going through it, it's a little bit like an athlete playing a game,
yeah,
but then thinking about it and reflecting on it afterwards. When you're in the middle of the game, yeah, we're in here, we're crunching numbers, you're in here, I'm in the other room and stuff, and it's just, it's a bit of a free-for-all and a bit chaotic, but fun, particularly given the result.
Well, you know, I went back, I listened to some of it, especially toward the end there, and it's really cool because, you know, it's like we were going back and forth, okay, Steve, what are the numbers now? You know, we talk about, okay, Steve, what are the numbers now? And you were just right there each time with the numbers, fresh numbers each time, and then I guess we were here till 2:30 on the air.
Yeah.
But I guess it was about 1:30 that we started saying, okay, he's got Pennsylvania.
Was it 1:30? I thought it was early, but 1:30?
It was pretty early. We called it.
Yeah.
We called it way before the major networks.
Yeah, you were going, this is an absolute disgrace that they're not calling this race. I'm laughing. I'm going,
it's true. It's true. Because it's like, you know, they just wanted to keep their audience as late into the night as possible. We knew before they did. Yeah. Absolutely.
But it was
great,
and it was a great team, and you guys all did a great job, and it's a real thrill to hear, folks. If you want to hear it and you haven't heard it, go to our website, American Adversaries. It's in the archive there, and Nick broke it up into two parts, but you need to hear the whole night. And it was, I have to admit, it was good. It was good. Wouldn't have been the same without you, though. But
oh, thank you.
That was the fun part. Now the real work begins. Yeah. It's the grind of the government and the grind of having to beat back bad arguments and ignorance and just getting our message out there, right? And that's what Legal Immigrants for America is all about. That's what we're all about.
The opposition is not going to roll over. They're not going to cry uncle. They're not going to throw in the towel. They're not going to be like Roberto Duran and say no mas. They're like a wounded animal in the corner right now, and they're going to fight. And that's why we are saying and telling people right now, this is not the time to take a victory lap. This is not the time to get a pina colada and go on vacation.
Right.
This is the time that you have to roll up the sleeves and go to work. I cannot emphasize that strongly enough, because I'm seeing a little bit of that attitude in people who are happy. And I'm glad everyone's happy. We got to celebrate. We celebrated today at the Christmas party. We'll celebrate on January 15th as well.
Right.
But you celebrate a little bit. It's like a football team. You celebrate after you win, and then you get ready for the next game.
Well, I was going to say, I was thinking more in terms of the wrestling, which is the analogy that we use so often. And this is kind of like the match isn't over. It's like we have just pounded the guy and put a couple of good slams on him. He's laying on his back on the canvas. But if we just start prancing around the ring, holding our arms up in the air, he's going to catch his breath, get up, and knock the snot back out of us, you see? So we got, you know, while we got him down, we need to make sure that we, you know, finish the job, so to speak.
Now is the time to put the figure four leg lock on.
Exactly.
Okay?
The job is not over yet.
No.
It's not over until we get these policies passed. And then, of course, the job, in essence, is never over. But in terms of illegal immigration, we can make huge strides and huge progress with this opportunity if we don't let up.
And it's a four-year job. People have to understand that. In other words, Trump can do things right away with executive orders. That is great. But at the same time, we know that there's still going to be tension, even within the Republican Party, because we've seen that before. Look at this last budget that was passed by Paul Ryan. $1.1 trillion gave Obama everything he wanted. Well, obviously, Trump's budget is going to be different, and that's good. But we've got to keep the eye on the ball at this point and make sure that they don't forget what they promised to do when it comes to immigration policy. So again, that is why we ask everyone to please go to golifa.com, Click on the donate button, donate, buy copies of the book, support us in our year-end campaign, take advantage of the tax benefits before the end of the year, because we got a big job to do, you know, starting in 2017, and we're not going to rest on our laurels. The fun has just begun.
You know, and the other thing is we've got to keep holding the rhino's legs to the fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the people, you know, Ryan will turn around in a heartbeat and let all the immigrants in, because he's chanting the same mantra as Obama. That's not who we are. BS. He has no idea who we are.
We heard that line for 8 years. What has it gotten us? You know, I mean, Chris, you were there today, and, you know, one of the other guests came all the way from California, Raul Rodriguez of America First Latinos.
Yep.
And he was talking about sanctuary cities and how terrible it is in California, and Kate Steinle and whatnot. We can't allow that to continue. So we've got a president-elect coming into office who is, in his platform, been very strong on legal immigration and against illegal immigration and amnesty. That is great. But now we have to make sure that there is the follow-through, that there is the implementation of everything that he wants to do.
Right.
And you're right. That's the tough part. That's why we need to be in Washington to help to make sure that it gets done.
And look at all the progress made so far. All right. We're sort of looking ahead, but let's just, again, we started off by looking back. Let's look back again at what has happened in this election. Trump was predicted not to even get as many Hispanics as Mitt Romney did, nor John McCain. And lo and behold, he got more than they did. As a matter of fact, the numbers show that Trump got about 30% of the Hispanic vote.
Trump moved the needle by 8 points.
What do you mean? Okay, 8 points he got.
Yeah, in other words, the difference between him and Hillary compared to the difference between Romney versus Obama in 2012, Trump netted 8 points in the positive better than Romney did.
So
between more people voting for, more Hispanics voting for Trump as opposed to Romney, and fewer of them voting for Obama. Instead of Obama.
Yeah. So
it was a net gain of 8 points among Hispanics and a net gain of 7 among African Americans as well.
Which, that's a net gain, but that's not the percentage of difference. The percentage of difference is more like about, he increased the by about 25 to 30%.
Yeah.
So it was a huge turn.
Exactly.
And the turn can be, you know, completed. It can, in other words, it can be continued.
Well, during the course of the election, we had prognosticated that if he could move that needle 10 points, he would win the election. Now, he got 8, so 8 was close enough to make a difference in states that he won with large Hispanic populations. Florida, Arizona, Ohio, North Carolina.
Georgia,
states like that, where he needed to win those states and run the table among states like that with Hispanic populations, and particularly here in Florida, where it's like it was close all along, but that put him over the top.
But what he did was totally opposite of what his predecessors did. He went out and he campaigned to the black voter. He campaigned to the Hispanics, which is what Romney and McCain and Bush
gave up on him.
And also he spoke honestly to them. He didn't talk down to them or didn't talk about them in front of them.
He didn't put on an accent like Hillary.
He talked directly to them and he talked honestly to them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't back away from any of his positions. He just went out there and presented them honestly to everyone, and including in the Hispanic and the black communities. And that's what people appreciate. And
they respect that.
Indeed, they do. Indeed, they do. And so that that has a lot to do with his success. But it was also a ground game. I mean, this is what I wanted to lead up to, is that Trump had a ground game. It wasn't. We now look back and know that the Republican National Committee had put up a substantial ground game themselves, and it still exists out there. But also, you had organizations like LIFA out there. The ground game, the voters' guides, the book, all the information, working with Dinesh D'Souza to get his movie out into other people's hands. You even got it out there on campus, UCF.
Yep.
It's lucky the administration didn't find out. They probably would have had somebody arrested. But the whole point is the ground game is people like us.
Exactly, exactly. And whether it's on the radio like this or on other stations or other networks across the nation, or even, you know, there's a lot of people listening right now that I'm sure worked with the Trump campaign, making phone calls, knocking on doors, handing out information, handing out our Life of Voters guides, our Life of Immigration Voters guides as well, because it's all that ground game, going into your neighborhood. Our friend Flora, who's probably listening, you know, over in Paramore, I don't know how many doors she knocked on. You know, and so it's the combination. She was here on election
night. She was a joy, yeah. Absolutely. We're going to get her back, too, by the way.
Oh, good. Yeah, she's very good. And so it's like, you know, it's the combination of all of that. And there's no shortcut to that. Now, Trump also leveraged social media very well, better than any other candidate has ever done on the Republican side. Made a huge, huge difference. And he continues to do so. That's why he's driving the media crazy, because he can use Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or whatever and reach the American people directly, and he doesn't need the media anymore, and that's driving them crazy because it's going to drive them out of business and stuff. But it's all the local element. You know, I grew up in Boston. People know that. Tip O'Neill, people remember Tip O'Neill. He was the Speaker of the House, and, you know, he fought with Reagan all the time. But Tip O'Neill said something very important once. He said, all politics is local. And he was 100% correct on that. And whether it's a congressional race or a presidential race, it's still local. And so, you know, Trump, if he went down to Miami and spoke to the Cubans about how he's going to be tougher on Cuban policy than Obama was, that got him the Cuban vote. He won the Cuban vote substantially in South Florida. And that's why, Chris, you know, at 7:15 or 7:30 on election night, when we saw that Trump was tied in South Florida,
we called it.
We knew he was going to win Florida.
We called it very soon after that, before anybody else
before
did.
Before anyone else.
We were the first. That's exactly right. This is, it's a joy, it's a work, it's a job, but it's a labor of love, and it's cool to be a part of it. You definitely want to be involved with LIFA. That's golifa.com. Please go there and do sign up, golifa.com. By the way, when Reagan was first, after he was inaugurated, first president, first term, he got in his limo and motorcade went uptown to Capitol Hill so he could meet with Tip O'Neill. And when he came out, all the reporters wanted to know, well, what'd you tell him? What'd you tell him? What'd you tell Tip? And old Reagan in his old way goes, well, I let him tell me. Tip O'Neill, yeah. All right. He was from your area, too.
He was from Cambridge, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, very liberal and stuff, but he did get it. All politics is local.
Yeah, and the rumor has it that he and Reagan would like to sit and do a little nip and tell a few jokes.
Two Irish guys, and so they'd fight, you know, like cats and dogs all day during the day. And then Reagan and O'Neill, they had a rule where can't come 6 o'clock p.m. the fighting was over, and O'Neill would go over to the White House, and I think they'd have a little bit of Irish whiskey or something like that, and swap Irish tales and Irish jokes and whatnot. And they were best buddies, you know, for the rest of the night, and then they'd fight the next day again.
Kind of like Army-Navy.
A little bit. Absolutely.
All right, Steve, once again, great to have you here. Once again, folks, please support LIFA, golifa.com. They support us. You can support them and us in the process. Golifa.com, golifa.com. Hit the donate button. Get some of these books. It is the gift-giving season. But, of course, these books are great gifts any time of the year. All right? All right. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Stick around. We will be back with more of the American Adversaries Sunday evening.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show. Folks, we've added the bad, bad girls to the show for the third hour for the American Adversaries.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sunday Evening Classic Tour. You are listening to the American Adversaries on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The answer, 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to be a part of the conversation here tonight. And we have Kathy Santomassino now in the studio, always putting great stuff up on Facebook, right?
Oh, crazy stuff.
She finds these funny videos and gets them from Aubrey and all sorts of sources, and we put them up there. So double check us on Facebook every day at American Adversaries. Aubrey Kahn, of course, is in the studio with me now. Don't forget, he's the host of the Talk to the Experts radio show every Saturday right here on these same stations at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. I am Christopher Hart, and it is Sunday night. It is the 7 o'clock hour. That means it is time for Sunny.
Amen.
Patricia Summerlin, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, coming to us live from California. You in the mountains tonight, Sunny?
Sure am. It's beautiful up here.
Really? I thought California was getting hit with a lot of snow like most of the rest of the nation.
No snow. We are really behind in the snow. We only had a couple days of rain, and it's been in the 50s, though we're supposed to get one day of snow coming up this week.
50s?
Yes.
Ooh, that's winter 50s. Here.
Yeah, that's cold here.
Oh, 50s are warm here.
Well, because you're up in the mountains.
In Los Angeles, it's only 61.
Is that right?
So they're getting for LA, that's pretty, you know, crisp.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of...
No snow yet, and we sure need it, so kind of hoping it does, especially at Christmas. Nothing like a white Christmas.
Yeah, I hear
you. That's racist.
I know. Where's Trump when you need him?
There you go. Well, let's talk about him a little bit. He has chosen Linda McMahon to be his Secretary of the Small Business Administration. First of all, had you ever met the McMahons, Linda in particular?
I haven't met Linda, but of course Vince I have. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't met Linda. I heard she's pretty smart. She's the mastermind, probably, in the holdings of all the money with Vince.
Well, certainly.
If she is, that's being smart, you know.
Well,
according to Trump, she is, and she'd make a great leader and a champion. In those words, it's funny he's using those wrestling terms of a small business in his realm.
Well, of course, yeah.
In his harem. Yes.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it that now. We're going to go there, are we?
I don't know. It'll be interesting. They're saying that he might pick, it's a joke, though, that he's going to get a couple of the Miss Universal, Universal World or Miss World.
Miss Universe.
In there.
Yeah.
It's just a running joke that people are saying. I'm like, oh, you're funny. Ha ha. You know? So.
Well, he certainly is shaking things up in Washington, D.C. Now, Linda McMahon, according to B. Brian Blair, is the brains behind the WWE, much more so than Vince, because she is the one on the business end of it, and he's the production end of it. He's the one who produces the shows and things like that. But without her,
the money.
But without her, exactly.
Like
without
a good smart woman should no
right. Without her on
the,
at
Where's
the business
the
end. Right. Well, but without her at the business end of it, that the WWE wouldn't be what it is today. They started out with 13 employees when they inherited it from the old man, and now it's a multi-billion-dollar corporation traded on the stock market with, shows produced all around the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. WWE is definitely an empire.
It's a worldwide.
I don't see it going anywhere.
Yeah, it's a worldwide brand, definitely. And for them to make it into that, pretty big achievement. And to have her to be the Secretary of Small Business Administration, I think, is going to be a big boon for small businesses. One of the first things she can do would be to cut back some of the regulatory hoops that small businesses have to jump through to get SBA loans. And, I think it was a good pick. And, some people frown upon her because it is the WWE, they say, looking down their nose when they say things like that. But how do you feel when you hear people putting down professional wrestling?
What I get is always, wrestling's fake. You don't really wrestle. And I said, well, I was injured and you want to see my x-rays. I'll show you proof. And I go, people are fake and wrestling's real. And I have a t-shirt that I show them that. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. You're always going to get negative. And those are the people that probably wanted to be a wrestler and they just couldn't get in. Who knows? Or they were never an athlete in school. They can't relate to it. They'll sit and watch it and knock it down every chance they can, you know. Oh, that guy can't wrestle, or, you know, you're always going to have that. And it's okay, because that's what makes our fans who love wrestling all the better, because they believe it and they love it. And that's why we have fans 30 years later.
Oh, yeah.
We have such a big following now. It's bigger now than when we were on television.
Is that right? Yeah.
Explain that.
Well,
that's called social media, and people that have held on the glow longer than even some of the girls have. Some of the girls have came and went. They've disappeared. We can't find some of the glow girls. They're not interested. They're out of showbiz. But those fans are begging to see those girls. And I know, because I'm trying to contact these women. I can't find them. Some of them, they don't want to be found. So,
right.
You know, unfortunately or fortunately for us, we're still going to shine and we're still going places after Glow is. You know, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling is going to be on TV next year in Netflix, and you get to watch that series that was picked up by one of the female producers that is number one in showbiz, which is Genji Cohen, who's doing the series Glow. So we can't beat that. And then, you know, everything we're all doing, individual and as a whole group. So it's amazing.
Yeah.
I challenge anybody, if they want to see if wrestling's real, come here. I'll flip you. I'll give you a body slam. Don't think I can't pick you up. They'll look at me and they're like, you don't even look big enough. You have a model's body. You don't look like you can wrestle. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Come here. And then I got challenged at all the time. Oh, especially when I was on the show, because I was blonde and, you know, and they knew the character of Sunny. But now I get to be a heel, and I challenge it every opportunity because life has thrown us those things, you know. And we're like, okay, come here.
It's always,
and they're like, oh, wow, she really lifted me up.
It's always funny to be a heel, isn't it?
Right? It is.
Hey, you know.
I love it now because I can't, because I'm brunette, and everyone's like, oh, Sunny, you're not.
Right.
You're a heel now. And I'm like, yep, I get to be that.
Yeah, well,
that's a good actor, though.
Sure. You mentioned a few minutes ago that with Linda McMahon and announcing her and stuff, calling her the champion of small businesses, that he was using wrestling phraseology. And I believe that he understands in his own way what we've been talking about on the show for years now, and that politics is a lot like professional wrestling. And as a matter of fact, somebody else...
Trump was on our show. I got to say.
Oh, I didn't know. He was on
picture.
The Glow.
Yeah, we threw Trump around.
You threw Donald Trump around.
Yes, Hollywood invited. Absolutely. Back in the 80s, he was on our show, Donald Trump.
Why did they throw him around? What was the setup?
I'll tell you. It was on a segment. I have the pictures. I'm going to send it to Jeff to his email.
Oh, yeah.
You'll love it.
We got to put that up on our Facebook page.
We've had him. We've had O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. We've had some interesting, we've did quite a lot of series, you know, Big Bad Mama and Little Fiji.
Well, see, this is why I think that Donald Trump.
I think it was with Trump and Hollywood in mind.
This is why I think Donald Trump understands what we talk about here, politics and wrestling being a lot alike. Matter of fact, listen to what Rhino said. Are you familiar with Rhino?
Yes. Well, yes. That's what I was going to next with Booker T.
Yeah, Booker T, who is a WWE Hall of Famer, excellent wrestler, black guy, really well built, really good technique, great wrestler, in my opinion. I'll let you say what you think here, Sonny, in a second. But he was every bit as good as a table announcer. In other words, the announcing part of the announcing crew as he was in the ring. If you ask me, he was a great announcer. But he's announced that he's going to run for the mayor of Houston in 4 years,
in
2020, and he got some advice from Rhino, another WWE superstar, who said, and here I'm going to read what Rhino said, and see if this doesn't sound familiar. You are overqualified for the job. Wrestling not only prepares you for life, but it prepares you for the positions like that because you feel the emotion from the people. You know what they want. You've built yourself from where you were to where you're at now. So, in other words, it's all about feeling the emotion of the people and being able to harness that emotion.
Right, and that's the same thing as a good work in the ring.
Exactly.
The same thing as a good wrestler, if you say work, wrestler, whatever. It's what wrestling's about. It's the same thing. It's a double face. You have the heel and the baby face. However, he wouldn't be the only one who has put his bid, and we don't know if he'll win. We're not sure. I mean, I like Booker T. He's very he's a triple threat. He's did it all. So what, is he better than Lawler as an announcer? No. But is he a great work? Yes. He's a great wrestler. He's a great announcer. He's very animated, Booker
yes,
T.
Yes, exactly.
He's
right.
Good. He's got a good build, too. Boy, I wouldn't want to. That's a tough guy right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing. I don't know if we have any people that want to call in on that, but that should have been a good, you know, da-ding, da-ding. Who was the mayor for Minnesota? Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Another great wrestler.
Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Oh, gosh.
And he was
Jeff?
Our mayor.
Jeff?
He was from
Jesse
Minnesota
Ventura.
Anyway.
No,
I mean, to us, he is a mayor because he actually succeeded and he was good at it.
Well, Ventura was the governor of Minnesota. Is that who you're talking
Jesse
about?
Jesse Ventura.
Jesse. Okay. Yeah, he was the governor of Minnesota. You said mayor.
He was mayor of Brooklyn Park.
Yeah, okay. And
he was mayor before he became governor.
Oh,
exactly, Jeff. There you go.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Okay.
I'm
I didn't know that.
From the very beginning with him. And he has many books out that he speaks politically, he speaks about, like Wade Olson, who we've had on the show, about JFK.
Yes, yeah.
He's a big believer in that theory. I mean, the man is brilliant, and he succeeded. So who's to say that, hey, Booker T won't? I mean, we're going to be backing him because it's a family. We're the squared circle of wrestlers, and there's so much respect in our family that we all back each other. And you don't find that in a lot of in other businesses or corporations like wrestling.
Yep.
Wrestling, we're strong and we stand by each other. As ugly as it gets in the ring, on the outside, you know, when we lose somebody in the wrestling world, we feel it throughout from California to Canada, you know, and that's a blessing. And they have our back. I can call Michael Sam right now and cry to him and go, hey, this is what's going on. And he gets me. You know what I mean? Or
sure.
The next one. I can call Brian Blair. And he'll go, oh, Sonny, you know, you're terrific. You got this. Or you know what I mean? That's
right.
Something that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you don't get. Wrestling, I'm thankful that I picked that career when I did. And I still have it 30 years later. All my glow sisters, you know, that's a bond.
Yep.
So go Booker T. I'll be voting for him in 2020. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes.
Before we go, you got a cruise coming up, right?
Yes, we do. February 12th through the 19th.
How can
and
some...
that leaves out of New Orleans or New Orleans. I can't get it like my brother says it.
Nollins.
Yeah. They've got that, that twingy twang.
Yeah, the Nollins thing.
You
got
to be from South Africa if you want to say it right.
Where do people get tickets?
They can go to the Afterglow site or alloutvacations.com.
Okay.
And they can sign up under the Afterglow Cruise.
All right. Sounds like
there's
a lot
still
of fun.
There's a few cabins left. It is selling out, though.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
It's going to be a fun cruise. We're very excited.
Anytime you go cruising with the Glow Girls, it's going to be fun cruise.
It's going to
be
fun. We have Gio, you know, or Gioa. There's another one that's really kind of interesting, her name. But, I mean, she was the lead singer for Exposé, which is the 80s pop band.
Yep.
She will be on board with us Glow Girls. And she's going to be performing at our prom Eve at our special event. So that'll be fun. I've got a lot of guys that asked me to the prom. I don't know what to do. So I just said, hey, I'll have a dance with you for 10 minutes. I'm going to dance with you for 10 minutes, and then we'll see what happens.
All right. Got the old dance card already filled out, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
going to be so much fun.
It sure is.
We're so thankful for all our family, and I call them family because they are a family, especially on the cruise. By the time we get off the cruise, they'll know us well, and we know them well. And that is a carryover to social media.
Well, like I say, when you get done with this one, you're going to need to schedule one here out of Port Canaveral so we can go on it too, right?
That's right. That's going to be the next one. Hint, hint, if Donald Goodland is answering. He's got to listen to the show.
Well,
you get Donald involved in this.
You tell him to do just that.
For February next year. Or maybe before that. We don't have to wait till 2018. Maybe we can do a summer cruise out of Florida.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
That would be good.
Sure would. All right. You be good this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Have a wonderful sunny week.
You too, Sonny.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All righty. Good night. All right. Once again, that's Sonny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling. And we are going to be wrestling with the clock because we're out of time already. So let's take another break, and we'll be back with some odd stories. It's Sunday's Odd Stories with Kathy Santomassino.
Please join me in welcoming our newest sponsor to the program, Patriot Home Funding Incorporated. John Siebert and Pierce Outlaw are the owners of Patriot Home Funding, and each has over 30 years' experience originating mortgages right here in Central Florida. They offer their customers the very best in service, experience, and expertise. Patriot Home Funding's motto is, "We say yes when the banks say no." They are known for routinely getting mortgages closed easier, faster, and with less cost than anybody else in the industry. If you are having trouble getting approved, getting the runaround from your lender, feel like you're paying too much, or just want the very best mortgage experts in Central Florida working to make your American dream come true, call the leading experts at Patriot Home Funding today. Patriot Home Funding is known for thinking outside the box and offering solutions, not excuses. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida and is an equal housing lender. Call them at 877-377-8123, 877-377-8123, or visit them at myphf.com.
Patriot Home Funding Incorporated is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, number NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepherd. Jerry and his wife Jana own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show.
Back to the American Adversaries. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. It is time now for Sunday's Odd Stories with Kathy Santomassino. Kathy.
Hey, Chris. You know, I love cats.
Tastes like chicken.
I found a cool cat of the week. This cat's name is Cooley.
Cooley, the cool cat.
Cooley, the cool cat. It's spelled K-U-L-I. When it comes to rescue pets, some people shy away from adopting animals with special needs or disabilities, but not everyone. Alexandra Gomez and Krista Littleton adopted a cat named Cooley in Hawaii, and things looked bleak for the poor creature, who'd suffered a severe eye wound. Once Alexandra and Krista took Cooley home, however, they were able to quickly get him help he needed. So not only that, but they turned him from an ailing animal into one of the coolest cats you'll ever meet. Cooley the rescue cat, his name means to look blind. After suffering a serious eye wound, Cooley needed surgery. Luckily, his adoptive parents got him the care he needed, but sadly, one of Cooley's eyes had to be removed during that surgery. But after Cooley's recovery, something unexpected happened. The loving humans who adopted him often gave him baths to help him with the healing process, and the seemingly mundane activity led to his new love of surfing. Cooley sat on a surfboard by himself after his owners took him to the water. They would gently push him along through shallower parts of the ocean at first. They started training him when he was just 6 months old, and now Cooley swims like a pro. Isn't that cool?
Cooley the cool cat.
Cooley the cool cat. Did you hear about the drone that crashed into the wedding party?
You got to be careful with those drones,
you
right?
You do.
You do. Two women are suing a groom and the event company that ran his wedding reception after they allege he flew a drone that hit them in the head at the New Hampshire event. Kanina Ellis of Seabrook and Kelly Eaton of Peabody, Massachusetts, claim in their December 1st suit that they suffered permanent physical and emotional injury as a result of the August 8th incident. The lawsuit says Barry Billcliffe had flown the drone to take pictures at his wedding reception at Searle's Castle in Wyndham. The lawsuit also claims that Billcliffe and staff and management at the Wyndham-based event venue were negligent by allowing the drone to fly around the property during the wedding. The drone collided with the two women while they were on the dance floor, and they suffered a concussion.
Was he trying to get a close-up of something, or what?
Perhaps. Billcliffe claims he owns the drone but wasn't operating it when it crashed. Lawyers for Billcliffe and Searles will have 30 days to respond to the lawsuit. This gives a whole new meaning to the term wedding crashers.
I bet he was trying to get a close-up.
Low-cut evening dress, right?
Oh, something like that, maybe.
Well, there's a horse and a camel at a Maine petting zoo who have formed an unlikely friendship. The 5-year-old camel, Caesar, at the Pony Express Zoo in Winslow, has become a guide for Dolly the horse, who is blind. The zoo's Ed Papsis tells WGME-TV that Dolly's probably the only horse with a seeing-eye camel. He says Caesar needed the company of another animal, and Dolly needed a guide. So the two were put together, and they bonded. Dolly relies on the camel and follows him around. She whinnies for him if he's not nearby, and he bellows back for her.
How cute.
Isn't that cute?
Got some friends that live up here in the Plymouth area.
Yeah.
And one of them had a horse, and the other one, who lived up the street about a mile, had some cows. And for a while, the cows had been penned up with the horse, and the guy took the cows back to his property because he had been away. And when he came out one day, and the cows were gone. They had broken out. And they had gone back to where the horse was. And we're out down there hanging out with the horse.
Isn't that the coolest?
Animals can definitely develop friendships.
Yeah, they do. They love like humans.
But have you ever tried to milk a horse?
I've never tried to milk a cow either, thank
you
very much.
Well, this story is for Aubrey.
Ah!
State police say holiday music was blaring from a Pennsylvania woman's car as she tore up the yard of her ex-boyfriend's home, nearly running over the man and his family.
Oh, me?
47-year-old Mary Jo Smith was charged Tuesday with multiple offenses stemming from Monday's incident. Alan McCutcheon says he was setting up a Christmas light display outside of his Fayette County home when Smith yelled, "Merry Christmas!" and made several passes through his yard. State police say Smith attempted to hit the 64-year-old along with his wife and adult daughter. Luckily, no one was injured. The joyride cost him more than $500 in damage, leaving behind tire tracks and a trail of broken lights and decorations. It's unclear if Smith has an attorney who could comment, but it sounds like a pretty good script for a National Lampoon Christmas movie, don't you think?
Why for me?
Yeah.
Well, domestic dispute, you know.
Oh, gosh. Y'all are so cruel to one another.
Oh, we love each other, though.
All right, stick around. We got more of the show. We're coming up on a break here, and got more odd stories. And we got a special tribute once again to John Glenn, the astronaut, when we wrap up the show tonight. So And then don't forget, Mark Walters with Armed American Radio. After our show, it'll take you live till 11 o'clock. And don't forget to listen to Aubrey's show every Saturday here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Great, excellent show about home ownership and home maintenance and, well, anything to do with a home. They are the experts, right, Aubrey? Talk to the experts.
Talk to the experts.
That's right. All right.
Should we rename the show? Listen to the experts.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here today, bringing joy that will last.
You know the words to this one, Aubrey?
No, but it's really up-tempo, isn't it? A Merry Little Christmas.
It was just the intro to this little ditty.
Yes.
I know that's Johnny Mathis, though.
That's right. Hey, sweet sound of Johnny Mathis. Sweet Johnny. Welcome back to the Sweet American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour with Sweet Aubrey Kahn.
Ooh.
Sweet Kathy Santomassino.
At times.
And sour Christopher Hart.
Bittersweet Christopher Hart.
He's been sucking lemons all day.
Yeah, he does. He does that.
I do. I love limes, too. I really like. Okay, anyway.
Well, when you think of memorable squirrels, you probably think of the cartoon character Rocky of the Rocky and Bullwinkle TV show.
Hey,
remember him?
Hey, Rocky.
Well, recently, one fluffy-tailed critter is taking matters into his own paws by snatching Christmas lights from his human neighbor, a Seattle woman who caught the adorable thief on camera in a video. He has stolen 150 colorful Christmas bulbs within 24 hours, wrote Margaret Reakin, who posted videos of the bulb bandit on YouTube this week. But while it might look like the thieving squirrel is stocking up to make his nest a little more festive, there's a much more likely explanation. The squirrel is mistaking the bulbs for food. Rika noted in one of her posts that the squirrel, who chews through the wires to get the bulbs, buries them around the neighborhood. This kind of behavior is reported each year as squirrels see the bulbs as similar to an acorn or fruit, says John Kaprowski, a University of Arizona professor and noted squirrel expert. While hard to know if this indicates a difficult winter for food, this behavior is likely just the result of being an industrious squirrel and catching a bounty of potential food to be used over the course of the winter. Kaprowski said the behavior could be risky, however, as a squirrel could get electrocuted in the process. He also added that it's unlikely squirrels would actually consume any part of the bulb, since once they attempt and fail to chew through the object, they would quickly realize their error. Ouch.
Now, this jogs a question for Aubrey Kahn here, the talk to the expert guy. Why is it that rodents don't get electrocuted so often when they gnaw on wires like that?
Well, if the wire is suspended and they're not grounding, then it just doesn't affect them that way. It's the same as with linesmen, you know. But if you ground yourself, then you're going to have it.
Then you're going to look out, right?
Yeah, you're going to be old Sparky, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
But, yeah.
You know, the rodents, especially squirrels, their teeth never stop growing.
Yeah, rabbits are the same
right.
way.
Right, and so they've got to keep gnawing at stuff, and that's why when you take a look at your roof at the vent stacks,
yeah, they'll
gnaw
that
chewed the lead around there. So
yeah.
For any of you guys that like eating, venison is not really the word, but Florida wildlife, stay away from the squirrels.
Because
you'd probably get lead poisoning.
Lead poisoning.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have the smartest people in radio right here.
You got the expert himself.
Exactly. But don't you think PETA members, when they hear this story, they may try to ban outdoor Christmas lights forever?
I can just see that squirrel showing off his stash to this lady squirrel
yeah.
he's trying to win over. You idiot! I can't eat those!
Well, have you seen the video of the week, Chris?
Is it on our Facebook page?
No, but I should post it.
Well, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
The Week Chris.
It's a video that's on Facebook
W-E-A-K, right?
That shows a man punching a kangaroo in its face after coming across the marsupial attacking his dog.
Yes.
Okay,
what
this video.
Yes.
I've seen it.
This video, which has been viewed more than 3.6 million times as of last Sunday, shows the man running up to the canine kangaroo skirmish. Well, we're not sure what's going on here, but the roo has the dog, not the other way around, a man narrating the video says. Upon seeing the man, the kangaroo pauses.
The roo.
The distraction allows the wriggling dog to break free, sparking a near eye-to-eye boxing match between the man and the kangaroo.
That's right.
The man throws a punch at the kangaroo after it gives a few intimidating hops, sending the animal recoiling backward. The kangaroo then appears to stand motionless before eventually hopping away. It's not clear exactly when or where the video was shot. The American man who first posted it to his Facebook page has said that his friend in Australia had sent him to the incident during a hog hunting trip, saying that his dog was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The man who apparently owns the video was not able to respond to the validity of that story. And, you know, adult kangaroos can stand over 6 feet tall and are very aggressive.
Yeah, they used to have in the old carnival shows, they would have boxing kangaroos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So it was.
But this was more like MME.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy was barefisted and he pounded this roo on the side of its head. And you could see it took a step backwards. You know, it was a TKO.
It looked like.
Didn't knock him down, though, did it?
No. Look at the platform he's standing on.
It looked like the roo caught in the headlights.
The roo. It's like that roo was. What?
What's a roo?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mixture
and
of flour and. Never mind.
He was a very big animal.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
fully grown.
On his hind legs, and he was towering over the guy.
Oh, yeah. They're powerful creatures. Yeah,
but
well,
the guy
Chris,
took a typical boxing stance.
Chris, you're the political science expert in the group.
Okay.
Who do you think were the poorest U.S. presidents?
The poorest U.S. presidents? Well, Jefferson had to be one. He was always in debt, I think.
Incorrect?
No. Well.
I narrowed it down to three.
You talking about when they got in office or when they left? Because according to the Clintons, they were broke when they left office.
In their lifetime.
In their lifetime. Well, it wouldn't be the Roosevelts, right?
No.
How about Lincoln? He was pretty poor as a kid.
Correct.
Yeah, he, you know, the old log cabin and everything, right?
He's right.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln is on the list. Who were the other two?
Jimmy Carter?
No.
No, he was a farmer. Well, he might have been cash poor, but he was land rich.
Reagan, he came from a middle class family.
No, actually, no.
All right, who was it?
Aubrey, you're pretty smart.
No, it wasn't me.
Well, can you believe it's Harry S. Truman and William McKinley?
Now I would have never thought of either one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who do you think the richest president in U.S. history was?
Well, I know who it is now. Donald
okay.
J. Trump.
You're correct. Had JFK lived, he would have inherited $1 billion from his father. But because.
Roosevelt. I would have thought Franklin Roosevelt.
No.
Was.
But because you're so smart, you are correct. The richest president in U.S. history will be President-elect Donald Trump, whose net worth is estimated to be approximately, what do you think that is?
Estimates are as low as 8 up to, I guess, about $15 billion.
Not really. $3.7 billion conservatively.
All right.
But no one knows because we haven't seen his tax returns lately.
Right. And so much of it is based on value of the real estate holdings that
he has.
That's
correct. Too. Liquid assets.
All right.
And have you ever wondered who Trump's favorite presidents are?
Trump's favorite presidents. I'd have to guess that Lincoln would be one.
Correct.
I would say Obama, because if it hadn't been for Obama,
he wouldn't
have had a chance.
That's right.
No, no.
I would also guess Kennedy and Reagan.
Okay. You've got one correct.
All right.
Reagan was his top pick.
All right.
Who do you think the other two are?
Well, you said Lincoln was one.
Lincoln was one. There's four.
Lincoln, Reagan, I don't know.
George Washington.
Oh, of course. I should have thought of that. Who would be the other one?
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, D. White, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
And I would like to send a birthday greeting, even though it is belated, to Kirk Douglas, who turned 100 on Friday.
All right.
Spartacus himself.
I tell you what, he's still kicking.
Isn't he amazing?
He is indeed.
He's got a young wife.
She's four years younger.
That wouldn't really be that much of a difference. But
how about that old Mick Jagger, though, buddy?
Oh, 73.
Papa. Going to be changing diapers. Right?
Yep. Yeah, and that's SOS News for Sunday. What's the date today?
Is the 11th.
I've lost track of time.
2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks till Christmas.
That's right. We celebrate Christ.
You better get shopping, lady.
For myself, maybe. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Christmas, celebration of Christ's birth, you've, of course, heard of the song The 12 Days of Christmas, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
One of my favorites.
That's right.
There's a lot of meaning to it.
That's right. Well, did you know that this year the price of the 12 Days of Christmas only went up minimally?
Really?
Yes, and it's mostly because of the turtle doves, because the number of the things on the list actually went down in price. Since last year. That's right. The price of two turtle doves jumped from $219 to $375 since last year.
Let's change them for ringnecks. Two ringneck doves.
Besides the two turtle doves. Only the cost of 11 pipers piping and 12 drummers drumming increased. Everything else went down.
I'm surprised because Disney's brought in a lot of foreigners.
Well, it's not necessarily because of the talent. It's just the price that it costs to transport the talent has gone up.
Obama is going to say that's because of him.
That's right. That's right. And but everything else on the list has gone down. So if you've made that promise this year, you're not going to get nicked up too much worse than you got last year.
Okay. All good. Right.
I wouldn't know where to find a turtle dove. What is a turtle dove?
It's a bird.
It's a bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
So someone could.
Yeah, bet.
It's a type of dove.
Okay.
You would have to go to, an ornithologist? Is that a bird doctor or whatever? Bird sells? Anyway, we'll be back with more of the American Adversaries and another tribute to John Glenn.
Hey, you're going to be tweeting about it.
Oh, God.
Hi, I'm Scott Miller from MyLibertyThreads.com. I've developed an American-made t-shirt brand that helps conservative Americans express themselves. I've traveled the country extensively over the last 3 years, helping proud Americans everywhere get their points across. As friends of the American Adversaries program, we're offering promotion for all the listeners of this show. All you have to do is check out our website at MyLibertyThreads.com and enter promo code AAR2014 on any purchase you make, and you'll save $3. That's $3 just by entering AAR2014. All caps. That's MyLibertyThreads.com. And remember, American-made t-shirts just feel better.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S, Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries. Don't forget, Armed American Radio comes up next. Just a program note, because because the celebration of the birth of Christ falls on a Sunday this year, and New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. We won't be on the air those two Sundays. But, of course, you can always go to our website where we have our archive and listen to any and all of our shows that we've done so far. And, once again, if you've not heard election night coverage, you believe me, it's a hoot. You'll enjoy listening to that. AmericanAdversaries.com. Pardon me, .com. A few minutes here, we're going to play another tribute to John Glenn. And, I know John was a Democrat, and he was, he was sort of the old Reagan Democrat, yeah, if you will. But he did have his liberal tendencies. He ran for president. But mainly he was a great war hero and, of course, astronaut. He flew missions in World War II as a very young man. That means he would have joined the Army Air Corps at the age of, I think, about 21 or 22. He also flew about 90 missions in Korea. And then, of course, he was in the astronaut corps, mainly because back then the astronauts were excellent pilots and test pilots and things like that. And John Glenn, after he made that flight, the first orbital flight around the Earth, and as I mentioned on the show the other day when we found out that he had passed away, the first orbital flight for an American.
For an American.
Yes, yeah, yes. The Russians were actually the first.
Yuri Gagarin was the first one.
Yuri Gagarin, that's right. And then they put in a woman up, too,
yep,
before we even put a man in space. But we caught up, and we passed them, and we did what we had to do because of brave people like John Glenn. And
now we pay them rent to send ours up to the space station.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. John was handpicked to be, of course, an astronaut, part of the original seven. And then John Kennedy handpicked him to run for Senate and wanted him to have a political career. He saw John Glenn as a national treasure. When John had to, they ended that initial mission early because they thought that they were going to have problems with the heat shield. They thought the heat shield may even come loose. And so they brought John Glenn down a little bit early, and Kennedy signed an executive order barring John Glenn from being on another space flight. And it wasn't until he took a flight on a shuttle that he could actually go back up again because he thought he was such a national treasure. And so he was a big part of, making America great. And so we have an imminent amount of respect for him and his bravery and what he did for this nation, even though we might still disagree with him on politics. So that'll be to finish up the show for tonight. Diane, in the meantime, is on the line, so let's take her phone call. Diane, thanks so much for calling tonight. We love you.
Hi, Diane.
We love you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I just want to plug SeaWorld. They're in such turmoil because of these PETA people, and they're amazing. And if you have a chance to go see Shamu and take pictures, because this is the last year. And it's so sad because
they love the animals.
They love the animals.
Well, not just
that. I'm so sad.
Yeah, but I believe the animals love the people,
too. Love the people,
too. They do.
It's so ridiculous, and I hope at some point SeaWorld will reverse that policy.
They won't. They won't. They've caved.
Well, perhaps.
They've caved, and I think the Obama administration also put some,
Yeah, but see, that's changing. That part's changing. But what I'm saying is perhaps SeaWorld will be sold, some new ownership or something, because they are definitely going in the wrong direction.
They so are.
And it will cause, if they continue to go in this direction, they will cause the demise of them as an attraction, as of a park. And lo and behold, all the animals that they rescue in the wild will suffer
exactly
as well.
Right.
I don't think that'll change, though.
No, it will.
They're still rescuing.
They won't have the finances because people go to the shows.
If SeaWorld's not around, who's going to do the rescuing?
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about here. And the parks is not functioning as a theme park and as an educational instrument for the public.
That's
it is now functioning as some sort of political correctness Tower of Babel. And
yep.
So I feel for you. You know, my brother worked there 20-something years, and he had to quit because of the changing attitude and the changing nature out there. He just couldn't deal with it anymore.
My family, we've been going for the last 7 years, going to the Christmas event at SeaWorld, and it's been an amazing event for my whole family, and we all love it, and that's all we talk about.
Yeah.
And it's just so sad what's going on. They did away with the train, and now they got this reindeer thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
sad. My son is so sad.
Well, listen, it can change, and things are changing rapidly and in a big way. And believe me, if they see, you know, where it's to their benefit to change their attitude back or change it again, they'll do so. So just, you know, keep hoping, keep praying.
I totally have the faith.
And keep letting them know your feelings about it, too.
Well, they do.
Diane, here's a thought.
Yeah.
Start a petition.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because they keep Christ in Christmas.
There you go. All right.
Start
Thanks.
A petition and start a counter Peter.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Peter shouldn't be standing for people for the ethical treatment of animals.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of bullying is it's got a new dawn coming, and it's going to be a whole lot different. Just believe me. So keep praying. Thanks, Diane.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you too.
Love
you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy. We love you.
We love you.
Okay. All right. That's just about going to wrap it up for tonight. Like I said, we're going to leave you once again with a tribute to John Glenn. And don't forget, Armed American Radio is coming up next, and they'll take you live until 11 o'clock tonight. And we will be back tomorrow with Abe Katzman. Colonel Danny McKnight will be in Thursday. So you got a lot of great stuff coming up this week with the American Adversaries. So we'll leave it right here with John Glenn. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
T-minus 10 seconds. Counting. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff. Contrails of jet fighter craft that are following this first stage of flight.
ME-6 vehicle is climbing nicely. It has passed through the area of maximum dynamic pressures. Pilot John Glenn is reporting all systems go. He is giving routine reports, reading off his instruments. John Glenn reports the flight very smooth now.
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand, it's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket.
Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.